the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! What a great run.
Fires down the middle.
It is intercepted by Micah Hyde. Intercepted. Tre Day. Tre'Davious White.
He's in trouble. He is sacked. Jordan Poyer came unblocked. It is Jerry Hughes who brings him down. What a big play there. McCoy cuts to the right.
Outrunning everybody. 10, 5. Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
Hello there, welcome to the show. Tuesday show, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. John Murphy, Donald Jones in our One Buffalo studio at One Bills Drive on this Tuesday afternoon. No matter what, Donald, don't let anyone ever tell you that there's not enough NFL news to go through the offseason.
Yeah.
There's always something going on.
I'm telling you, the NFL will provide you, and it seems like they're doing it more and more every year now. They're providing us with things to talk about. And then you have the players themselves that actually do different things off the field, do things on the field, positive, negative, whatever the case may be. We always have something to talk about.
And today we got something somewhat significant to talk about. All came up in the last hour or so, perhaps you've heard by now. Richie Incognito says he is finished with football, done, retiring. That news came out, what, about 90 minutes ago, maybe?
Something like that.
An hour and a half ago?
Ish.
Yeah, 90 minutes ago. Yeah. And let me read it to you. Let me read you what we know. We don't know a whole lot about it, but we're ready to discuss it. Bills left guard Richie Incognito says he's retiring after 12 seasons in the NFL because of medical issues. The quote reported by the Buffalo News, the original report, it seems to me, came out from Peter King, who suggested that Richie might be considering retirement. Mm-hmm. And then the Buffalo News, Vic Carucci, talked to him. Here are the quotes from Richie Incognito appearing in the Buffalo News. Quote, I'm done. That's it. It's been a long career. My liver and kidneys are shutting down. Nothing I cannot restore with some balance, but the stress is killing me. Richie went on to be quoted as saying, I went to a doctor's appointment the other day. They said, listen, the stress is killing you. What are you doing? And I said, listen, I'm just doing what I love, and that's playing football, so that's why I'm done. Richie Incognito, retiring. He's 34 years old. He sent a tweet to the NFL Players Association and the NFLPA Assistant Executive Director of External Affairs, George Atala, saying that he was done. It was a pretty simple tweet. It just said, I'm done. Incognito, according to Peter King, earlier, Sports Illustrated earlier said he was strongly considering retiring, but he might return for a final season in 2018 at a right price. But he did tell Vic Carucci at the news he's done. He is shutting it down. No comment from the Buffalo Bills yet. No confirmation from any of this. Incognito, a lot of interesting twists and turns in this, Donald Jones. A renegotiated salary where he reportedly took a pay cut, $1.675 million, a pay cut negotiated with Incognito reportedly last month. The final year of a three-year contract that he signed in 2016. He would now earn $4.75 million. Incognito, speaking to Vic Carucci at the news, denied that that was a factor, said he wasn't happy about the pay cut, but denied that that was the driving force for him retiring, said it's health issues. I'm done, according to Richie Incognito, age 34. Big shock. A big problem? That's what we're going to talk about today. Let me get your thoughts on all of this, Donald. What do you think?
Well, all right, so I remember while I was playing, talking to my family. Now, let me preface this with, yes, I was sick, so I was dealing with stuff anyway. But right. I remember talking to my family about the stress level of actually playing in the NFL.
How old were you?
I was 23, 24,
and
25.
And you felt that much stress?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
because of your health?
No, it wasn't because of my health. It's the stress level of – it's a couple of things. I mean, as a player, number one, you have the stress of you're always worried about your job. And so you got to make sure you're doing the right things on and off the field to make sure that you are ready to play. Then when the team comes to you and they say, well, we need you to take a pay cut. I never got that. But we need you to take a pay cut. That right there is an alarm that goes off in your mind like, whoa, what is going on here? So you have that stress. But then just really the everyday. And once you get into games, the stress of the league, when you're in a game, that is a very stressful environment.
Sure, yeah.
Being down there on the field, you have to make those plays. There are hundreds of thousands of people that are watching you every Sunday, and you don't want to be the one to fail, all of that stuff. So there's a lot of stress that comes with this stress on your body from working out physically, stress mentally. There's a lot of different stress that's involved with the game. With all of that being said, I'm not shocked that he would actually if this is true, that he would retire at this point. He's played a long time now. He's made a lot of money. If his body is truly failing him, it's time to shut it down. You know, football is not worth it. You got the I'd hope you got the money in the bank. You've made some money over your career. And now it's time to move on and do whatever it is that will make you happy moving forward.
So that's the Richie standpoint. What about from the Bills standpoint? Certainly, you would think they were counting on Richie Incognito returning. They did reportedly renegotiated the contract, and you would think they were counting on him to return, right?
Yeah, I'd have to believe that they were counting on him to return. Now, this is not something that they were expecting. We were just talking about this in the office, you know, and I remember when Coach McDermott was first hired and he was saying all of the right things, and we kept saying, well, there are going to be things that come up that he's going to have to deal with. And these are those things
this
that come up, yeah, as a head coach.
A year into his job.
Man, a year in, and you're talking about 2.5 weeks before the NFL draft.
You're talking about, what, 4 or 5 days before the players, the veterans come back here?
Come back here to work out. 2.5 weeks before the draft, where you already, okay, this is our team, what we have set. In your mind as a coach, you want it to be open competition, and Coach McDermott likes to have open competition, but you also understand, okay, you're going to have Richie here, you're going to have Deion at the left tackle, we might have a hole to fill here, we might have a hole to fill here, all across the team. Then one of those players that you feel like is set now is pulled from you 2.5 weeks. That right there is like, whoa, okay, now what do I do? Now, they brought in Bodine. You still have Groy on the roster, all right? So you know Bodine can go step in and play center for you. You know Groy can play guard. So for me, in terms of the Twitter poll, I don't know if it's that big of a deal, in my opinion. I don't know if it's that big of a deal. Hopefully Bodine could be a good one for you. I think Groy is a very good player. I think he's, well, a solid player. It's yet to be seen if he's a very good player. But when he stepped in for Eric Wood a couple of years ago, he did fine. You didn't hear anything about him. And I think he would be okay if he had to step in at the guard spot. If you felt like Bodine was a good center, or if you felt like you needed to draft a center, I'm totally fine with that. What I'm not fine with doing is drafting one early in the draft, because I don't think that guards or centers are really worth taking in the first round. I don't.
Let's get – Donald mentioned the Twitter poll. Let's get you updated on that. On Twitter, you can vote right now at our Twitter site at John Murphy Show. With the Richie Incognito reports, how concerned are you about the Buffalo Bills offensive line now? Right now, we've got more than 1,100 votes in about 20 minutes, so obviously there's some traction here. 56% of you, more than half of you, say you are very concerned about the Bills offensive line. 37% of you say this is significant, but it is fixable, and there is time to fix it. 7% of you say you're not concerned at all. Give us a call. Let's discuss. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550, or via Twitter at John Murphy Show. I'll read you some of the more interesting tweets in a moment. Hey, Donald, let's talk for a minute, though, about the, you know, the Richie Incognito report itself. Now, we all know Richie's background. We know a little bit about his personality, right? He has entertained us on this show with his offbeat kind of personality. I don't know how to describe it. You know, if you're a Bills fan, you know Richie's a little bit out there.
Mm-hmm.
How much do we believe that this is going to stick? In other words, does Richie change his mind? Will the Bills provide him an opportunity to change his mind moving forward? I don't have the answer to that. You may not either.
I don't have the answer.
Are we certain that this is the end of it, though? And again, a lot of it is because of who Richie is, his background, his history, his ups and downs, and
yeah,
his path, his life path so far.
I'll say this. I don't think we're certain that this is the end for Richie because of we know who Richie Incognito is. And to be honest with you, there's money involved in this thing. So now you're talking about, okay, you just restructured your contract, and I don't know the specifics of his contract, but usually when guys are retiring and you're still under contract, well, you might have to pay some money back. And that will get you to double take that. That will get you to, hold on, I got to pay back. How much? Nah, I think I want to come back. Now, from the team standpoint, once you put – because it's hard for me to imagine that he would – come out with something like this, be quoted and everything, and still want to come back and play. But from the team standpoint, even if he does say, my bad, I want to come back and play, that's hard to do.
Do you let him?
Right, exactly. That's
I don't
hard
know.
To do at this point.
I mean, that this is throwing a major, if nothing else, it's a major bump in the road for the Bills, and probably more than that if he does. Look, if he decides tomorrow – and wakes up and says, can I afford to walk away from $4.75 million? Sure, I'm not happy about taking a pay cut, but where else am I going to make 4.7? Is anybody else in the NFL going to pay him 4.75?
No.
Doesn't appear likely.
I don't think so.
So say, let's say he wakes up tomorrow and has changed his mind. The Bills have a decision to make, right?
They do.
Do they want him?
I mean, yeah, it's a big decision from both sides of this thing. And they got to figure out, look, is this what you really want? And if so, now the contract, the money comes into play because now you're retiring. We just restructured your contract, which means you probably have some guarantees in there, which means you're going to have to pay us some money back.
Right.
So when you wake up tomorrow and we're calling for that, whatever it is, it's too late now. You can't say, well, nah, I'm my bad. I didn't know I had to pay back that much money.
You would think because this is a distraction, right? I mean, it's not a – if he does wake up tomorrow and decide, I want to play, I want to go back to Buffalo, well, the Bills have to think, do we really want to sign up for more of this kind of stuff? And he's been pretty good here, let's face it. He's been pretty good. But there are, you know, he does have that history. You cannot ignore his history. We haven't ignored his history. Almost every time Richie's on the show, we talk about his history and his comeback from where he was, you know, after the Jonathan Martin situation. Mm-hmm. And there have been, this offseason, there have been a couple of little blips, right? The Jonathan Martin situation at the end of the year, which I don't believe was Richie's fault. The in the playoff game at Jacksonville.
Yeah, yeah.
The player who mentioned Richie, you know, they had a little verbal dust up there. Just the other day, last week, Richie essentially fired his agent
publicly.
On Twitter. I mean, a couple of blips that maybe lead the Bills to think, where are we going here, Richie? What's the deal? Are you still okay? You're still on the straight and narrow, right? There's a couple of little blips in the road here where you, if you're the Bills, you'd have to think twice if you want to bring him back now that he's opened that door to not coming back.
Right. And I'm not really – see, I don't know the specifics of everything. So
No, nor do I.
Neither one of us do. But I think it would be hard now that he has been quoted as saying these things, it would be hard for the Bills to – if I was the head coach to say, okay, come on back. You know, we it's okay. We want you back. Just because this is a distraction, you know, and this is something that now you're making us take a double stance on this. Now we got to rethink. Who knows? Maybe they do have to rethink the entire draft. I don't think it should be early in the draft. But this could make you say, whoa, all right, what do we have to do here? So you're adding, talk about stress, you're adding stress to my job now as a head coach, Richie.
At a critical time.
Right.
With the players coming back on Monday, the veterans coming back, and the draft a little bit less than 2.5 weeks away. We want to get your take on this. Going to have plenty of time on the telephone line to talk about it. 803-0550 is the number to call locally. Outside Buffalo, it's a toll-free call, 1-888-550-2550. Richie Incognito says he is retiring due to health issues. What do you think of that? Where do the Bills go from here? How concerned are you about the Buffalo offensive line? Give us a call. 1 o'clock today, Evan Silva from Roto World. He's written a complete breakdown of the Bills' draft needs. He is a draft expert and NFL reporter. Evan Silva joins us at 1 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on Richie Incognito. And coming up at 2, some thoughts on Sam Darnold, who's making the rounds now, traveling to visit the Jets a little bit later on. The Bills are going to hold a private workout for Darnold, reportedly, out west on Friday. We'll talk with Scott Wolf, who covers the USC Trojans, coming up at 2 o'clock. In the meantime, a lot of Richie Incognito talk with the lines open at 803-0550, the number. Richie Incognito, how concerned are you about the Bills' offensive line with the news today? A couple of tweets on this I want to read to get us started. You know, as far as the Bills, what they do moving forward, Buffalo Love 1914 tweets in, it was time for the Bills to get younger. Bean has this under control. I don't want the Bills to trade up, but not because Incognito. Wait a minute. I don't want the Bills to trade up, but not because of Incognito retiring. The Bills have enough draft picks to add good talent to the team. That's one take. Michael Corman tweets him, I'm not concerned at all. We absolutely should not trade up. Use those picks to rebuild what we've lost. Give McCarron a chance. I would think, how concerned? That's the question we put out there. I'm concerned. This adds a level of concern to the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
This is a starter who went to the Pro Bowl last year. Richie Incognito, a pretty solid player, not a – you know, I don't think he is a can't-play-without-him type of guy, but a pretty solid player on what's been a pretty solid offensive line. And if you look at the Buffalo offensive line, if Incognito is, in fact, retiring, Eric Wood has retired, What are you looking at here? Deion Dawkins at left tackle. You went through this, Donald. Ryan Groy is available to play left guard if that's the way you want to go. Bodine mm-hmm. can play center. Mm-hmm. Vlad Dukas, Jordan Mills, right guard, right tackle. John Miller still on the roster. You would think this changes his status on the roster a little bit, maybe for the positive for him.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some options here. But I don't think if I were the Bills, I would go back and redo my entire draft plan because of Richie Incognito's decision. I would not. As a matter of fact. And in the Bills' pursuit of a franchise quarterback, an elite-level quarterback, I would not let this deter me at all. In other words, I'm not looking to use a first-round pick on a guard or any other offensive line.
Right. That was where I was. If this was a tackle, you know, especially like your left tackle, then you could say, all right, we need to pick up a left tackle early in the draft, first round, second round. But – and this is not to knock the position, knock the interior offensive line, but I do think that you can find interior offensive linemen in the second, third, fourth, sometimes even later in the draft. I do. I think you can fit guys you can find guys that will fit your system. Whatever that system that Brian Daboll is going to run, they will be able to find a guy that can do it. If it's a pulling guard, if it's, you know, they want to run zone again, whatever the case may be, I think you can find a guard if you want to draft one. You don't have to say, okay, now we got to rethink the entire draft. We can't, if you were planning to trade up there and get a quarterback, well, we can't get up there to get a quarterback because now we need to take a guard in the first round. That makes no sense.
No.
You go ahead, you stick with your plan of getting a quarterback, and then in the second, in the third round, oh, here's a guy that we like. Let's go ahead and take him right now.
Here's a tweet from Andre, who I think maybe summarizes the way a lot of Bills fans feel as far as Richie Incognito, the report that he is leaving, retiring. Andre tweets in, another hole that we need to fill, another reason why not to give away all of our draft picks at depth of a starting guard later in the draft. I think a lot of people are going to feel that way, but let's hear from you. Line's open, 803-0550, the number to call. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Or on Twitter, Michael Tracy tweets in, we've lost our two best offensive linemen since the playoffs. This is significant. At least he did it before the draft so we can try to mitigate the loss.
Mm-hmm.
You agree with that? I think I do.
The two best,
I mean, Deion Dawkins, I think, would factor into maybe who your best offensive linemen were.
Best young and up.
But two best veterans.
Yeah, you lost Eric Woods, you lost Incognito, and those two guys have been working together for the last couple of years. So, I mean, that right there is important in itself because you have two guys that have worked together for the last couple of years. They've been through a couple of different systems and have worked through that in the last couple of years. That's important, you know, to talk about. And the other point that he made in that tweet was, yeah, it happened before the draft. So now you can go into the draft knowing that, okay, we need to pick up a guard. I think that Ryan Groy is going to be on this offensive line. I don't know if he's going to play center this year. I don't know if he's going to play guard this year. He is going to be a starter. This year, I think he's going to be a starter at some position on this offensive line. And then you have Bodine, then you'll probably end up drafting one, and you'll let those guys go ahead and battle it out for the starting spot, if it's that's the center or if that's the guard spot. But I think that this will not make you go and say, well, we need to draft one in the first round. Even if you can't get a quarterback, you're still, I don't think, drafting a guard in the first round. I still think you're going with a linebacker. You're going with a wide receiver in the first round, you're still going to take a quarterback before you end up taking a guard. Let's just say that.
Richie Incognito says he's retiring because of health issues. What do you think of that? What does that mean for the Bills? How concerned are you about the Buffalo Bills offensive line? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. Vic Carucci, the Buffalo News, talked to Richie. Carucci says, according to Incognito, he spoke with Terry Pegula, he spoke with Brandon Bean, and he spoke with Sean McDermott and informed them that he's retiring.
I got this tweet in that says, well, this is from Big Bills fan, 1965. Absolutely no moving up now. We need half a football team.
Let's take a call. Robert in Portland, Oregon. Go ahead, Robert. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
Hey, good morning, John.
Good afternoon. How are you?
What's up?
Okay.
Good. Yeah, I'm very concerned about this situation with Richie retiring. Not surprised, especially when you look at kind of a changing of the guard on the offensive line, some of his line mates leaving the team this offseason. It's not too surprising, but it just stands to reason about the whole scenario about trading up for a quarterback. I'm very careful to call these quarterbacks premium because, to be honest, I'd like to see guys at that level that have taken their program to the next level, like you saw Andrew Luck do with Stanford and Carson Wentz do for North Dakota State and so on and so forth. But I'd like to hear your take on this situation more, and I'd also like to see if you guys could ask Evan Silva when he comes on. How does he rate this draft class overall? What is the quality and the depth of this draft class?
The entire draft class or just the quarterbacks?
The entire draft class, because we're talking about trading up a bunch of picks, which means we miss out on players if it's a deep class.
All right, right.
That a little bit more.
I will ask him that, Robert. I'm writing that down right now. Thank you.
Yep, good question, Robert.
I'm not there yet. You know, Robert, it seems, and others feel like the incognito news is, you know, and we've talked about this. There have been a lot of people who said, do not bundle up draft picks. Do not give up draft picks to move up. A lot of people have felt that way, and I acknowledge that. I appreciate that. I don't agree with it. And I don't know if this changes my thought on that, Donald. I don't think it does.
I don't know. I've been in the boat of, look, if you want to trade up to get one and you feel strong about a guy, well, we know what boat I've been in. don't give up the entire draft.
Boat. Right.
Yeah, you saw my boat. It's one of those big yachts out there. don't give up the entire draft, but that doesn't – because you do have a half a team that you need to build here. But I don't think that this Richie Incognito thing changes any of that stuff.
No,
you know, you still stick to your plan. And I don't think that Coach McDermott or Brandon Bean will let anything like this throw them off their plan unless – it was, you know, the quarterback or something like that. Or if LeSean McCoy came out right now and said, yeah, I'm going to retire, then it would be like, oh, okay, now we got
to –
Back to the drawing board. But, no, and this is – like I said, once again, this is not to knock that position, but I just think that you can find guards
– I agree.
– and interior linemen, like, later in the draft.
Call here from Jamal in Buffalo. Go ahead, Jamal. Welcome to the show. Jamal, you got to turn down the radio and talk to us, please.
Yes, hello.
Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead. Jamal, call back. Turn down the radio and call back. Let us know then, because you can't talk to us and listen to the radio at the same time or the TV.
That's a great thing if you can do that.
Hey,
you know, I got this one tweet in
yes,
though,
sir.
That says this is from Postman Pilot. It says it's more than losing a player. The team lost a ton of leadership between Wood and Incognito. That's what worries me the most.
That's worth talking about. Is Richie a leader?
I
don't know that he was. I think Wood was.
Wood was.
I don't know about Richie. I think Richie was, I think he was in some ways a respected player on the roster. I respected him for his comeback. I thought his comeback was amazing. But was he a leader? Was he a guy that others looked to as a leader in that roster? If he was, I didn't see it. I could be wrong. If he was, I did not see it. Eric Wood, absolutely a leader in that locker room.
Yeah.
I don't know if Richie was. In some cases, Richie's past, I think, had raised questions about what kind of guy he was.
Oh, yeah.
Now, he did a good job of putting it behind him and pulling himself together and coming back and having a couple of good, three good years with the Bills
mm-hmm.
after his, suspension and his he was on the beach for a year and a half, right? He
mm-hmm.
did a good job of coming back from that. But I think there also had to be players who said, What really happened down there? What was that all about down there? How did you get in that fix? Or what did you do to get yourself in that fix down there?
I tell you this, if I was in that locker room right now with Richie or on the team last year, the last couple of years, I would definitely question that. I would question that. Now, it doesn't mean that I would not be friends with him and not talk to him and different things like that. I would respect him as being one of the better guards in the NFL, but there would always be that in the back of my mind, what really happened, you know? And some guys might ask him that if they feel comfortable enough, and others won't. But, you know, you that would be something that you respect a guy as a player, not really sure what to think about him, but that doesn't mean that you're not going to be, like, great teammates with him and stuff like that.
I mean, it might even – he never missed a start in his 3 years in Buffalo from what I can tell, which is pretty significant. I would admit, if I were a teammate of his, Donald, you've been in this situation, it might even get to the point where it's like you get to be close enough to him, not necessarily friends, but close enough to say, hey, tell me what the heck happened down there in Miami and what role did you play, right?
Can you
see yourself getting to that level with the teammate?
You could.
What was
some
that?
Guys, yeah, you can get
what
close
enough.
What
were you thinking, baby? I mean, he wasn't totally innocent.
You'd have to be a certain player of certain status on this team to to go to him and say that. Like a guy like LeSean McCoy could, hey, Richie, you know, what happened out there? I need to know. But if you're a rookie on this thing, you know, Zay Jones, not even Deion Dawkins playing next to him, "Hey, Richie, what happened out there? You're just too young. You're not really."
You don't think
Richie,
Deion would do that?
No. Nah, I don't see. Yeah, Deion's just like, "Know that."
But that happened, and he had a role to play down there, and he didn't handle it all that well. He did a great job of coming back. I would think, was he a leader? I don't know. I'd have trouble telling you from what I saw. Anyway, on the outside looking in, I'd have trouble saying that this team, these players viewed Richie Incognito as a leader.
Right. You respect the guy for what he's done in the league. On the field, you respect him. You see him going to Pro Bowls. You see him doing all of that stuff. You've seen him. You know, these guys, these young guys that were on the team that weren't even in the NFL, probably in high school or college when all of that stuff hit the fan, and it was all on CNN and Good Morning America and all of that stuff. I mean, that was national news when that stuff happened down there in Miami, and these young guys were probably still in high school, still in college when that stuff was happening, and now they get here, and you respect them for being back in the NFL and making it to Pro Bowls and all of that stuff. But, yeah, you might have those questions in your mind.
3 years with the Bills, three Pro Bowls with the Bills. Richie Incognito tells the Bills he is done. He is retiring due to health reasons. Your thoughts on that? 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Here's Paul calling from Fredonia. Go ahead, Paul. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, this is the fat guy in Fredonia. Hey, you know,
okay.
I love Richie Incognito because I'm a Bills fan, but remember at the end of the last playoff game, he had a little bit of a problem. That was never really explained how that worked out.
And well, he worked it out with the guy. What was the Jacksonville
guy? Was it at the
guy?
Pro Bowl they went and, and they sat down and talked?
Yeah.
Right. Wow. Well, that's well and good, but the NFL never really even made a decision on the whole bullying issue either, from what I recall. I mean, they had a panel of players and a group that sat down and never even really came out with the formal ruling on that whole bullying situation. But I love Richie. I think he was great for the Bills. I think he's probably one of those guys that people love to play with. And, you know, as long as he's your teammate, everything's good. But, you know, when you look at, and I told you, I'm a fat guy. With your liver and kidneys shutting down, there may be a lot to this. I mean, he may really have medical issues. Who knows? And my only other thing I want to say is I don't want to lose our path to the quarterback. I still think we need to do whatever it takes to get up in the draft and get our quarterback.
So, hey, Paul, before you go, you know, I like you self-proclaimed. I'm the fat guy in Fredonia. Does Murph know you from that or something like that?
I don't know you by that name. I can't imagine you're the only fat guy in Fredonia.
Murph does know me. I used to ride the bus with him on from DeSales home, and we used to make trucks honk at us. I think I did, if I'm right about it, it was either I grew up in Lockport, actually, and I knew the Mullanes and the Murphys really well. So I haven't met Murph, but he was a young, good-looking guy then, and now he's an older, good-looking guy.
Oh, I thought you were going to say now he's not.
No, he's as handsome as ever.
Thanks, Paul. Keep going, Donald. You feel like there's a score to settle here. Go ahead.
No, there's no score to settle.
You got 15 seconds.
Trying to figure out what was going on. Did you guys know each other? Or
I don't
what?
Know. I honestly, Paul is not familiar to me, but I'm sure if I saw him, I would know him.
Yeah.
Hey, our Twitter poll today, Richie Incognito announces that he's retiring due to health reasons. So, what do you think of that, and where do you think this leaves the Bills? That's our poll on Twitter, and it reads like this. With the Incognito reports, how concerned are you about the Bills' offensive line? 56% of you say you're very concerned. 37% say, you know, this is significant but fixable for the Bills. 7% say you're not concerned at all. Give us a call. The lines are open, 803-0550, and toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Back with more in a moment. John Murphy Show. Donald Jones is here. We're coming to you live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy and Donald Jones in our One Buffalo studio. Richie Incognito making news today. The Bills Pro Bowl guard. Telling the Buffalo News that he is retiring after 12 seasons, last three with Buffalo, three consecutive Pro Bowl seasons with the Bills, four Pro Bowls overall. He made one with Miami. Richie's quote, "I'm done. I'm done. That's it. Been a long career. My liver and kidneys are shutting down. Nothing I can't restore with some balance, but the stress is killing me." Richie Incognito retiring. What do you think of that? And what do you think it means for the Bills and their draft plans? Does this change what they should do moving forward? Do they have a problem now on the offensive line? Let's hear from you. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Got a call here from Matt in Canandaigua, New York. Hello, Matt. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, John? Donald?
Good.
What up, though?
Good. Hey, Donald, good to miss you. You've done a great job.
Hey, man, thank you.
Friday's Donald's last day, in case anybody didn't know. Friday, this Friday, right?
This Friday.
Go ahead, Matt. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. You're good, John.
Thanks, man.
So, is Richie going to be missed? Yes. I mean, he's a Pro Bowl player. Awesome guard. But I'm with Donald. I think we've brought in some veterans. We have Groin, Miller still. So I don't see it as a whole. If anything, I see it as I'd like to see the Bills staff kind of learn from this and do some foreshadowing, because next year we're probably looking at Kyle Williams. And right now this year in the draft, sitting at 12, I mean, we could get the kid from Michigan, Hurst, Vita Vey from Washington.
Yeah.
And I forgot the other – there's another stud that will all probably be there when we're at 12. And I don't see any of these quarterbacks as, I mean, there could be, some of them could be studs, but none of them jump off the screen as this guy's the next great. What do you guys think?
Yeah, in terms of the next, the other stud, I forgot the kid's name. I believe he's from Alabama, though. Another defensive lineman from Alabama.
Yeah.
And everybody's saying those three would be good first rounders. I'm not sure if the Bills would draft a D lineman in the first round, though. You know, and after bringing in Star Lotulelei, I could be wrong. I think they'd go linebacker before they went with the defensive line.
Thinking of Deron Payne, Alabama?
I believe that's his name.
Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
I think they'd go linebacker. I think they might even later in the first round go wide receiver if they didn't go quarterback at all in the first round.
Matt, thanks. I don't think the Bills personnel department – needs any instruction on how to look ahead and plan ahead and anticipate holes coming in the future. Yeah, they know where Kyle Williams is. They know they probably have to replace him after a year. But I don't think the incognito, surprise incognito retirement announcement, forces them to think that way, right? They know that. They know what the contracts are. They know the age of everybody. They know how much they'd like these guys, too, who they might want to replace.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think they need that, I guess is what I'm saying. Let's take a call from John in North Buffalo. Welcome to the show, John. You're on the air with us.
Yeah, that guy that was just on?
Yeah.
He had the same thought I had, but, okay, I think they should stock up the defense and the offense, split the six picks we got, because it's been years since we had that many picks in the first three rounds. Go three for offense, three for defense. I would think that makes a lot of sense. And another thing you could make a topic of, don't you think they should get rid of the artificial turf with the concrete underneath it and go back to natural grass in the stadiums to lessen the injuries?
Well, I don't know that there's evidence that that would happen. Many NFL teams have the kind of turf the Bills have now. I don't think there's evidence that natural grass lessens injuries. Look, they need a quarterback, right? They've played since Jim Kelly retired. They essentially played without an answer at franchise quarterback. All I'm saying is, let's put incognito aside today's news. You have an opportunity here. You have the Bills with six picks in the first three rounds, so they have cash to spend, draft capital. You have a draft where there are six quarterbacks who might be in the first round, and some of them are regarded that highly as a potential first round elite level quarterback. Sam Darnold, I think, would fit that bill. Josh Rosen may fit that bill. Baker Mayfield might fit that bill. You put those two together, the fact that the Bills need a quarterback and that they have draft capital to spend and there are good quarterbacks here, I think you got to look at drafting a quarterback, even if it means giving up some draft picks. Yes, I know. You have needs. You have needs all over. You're always going to have needs. You're always going to have roster holes to fill. And now here comes another one with Richie Incognito's retirement. But that does not change my essential approach to this draft, which I think the Bills started last year on draft day when they made the trade with the Chiefs.
Let me play devil's advocate
Go.
A little bit.
Yes.
Go. If you are drafting well, does that always, especially in today's day, in the day and age we live in today in the NFL with all of the trades, can't you always accumulate more draft capital with all of the trades that are being made? So if you're drafting players well, right, and now you have this team of good players, and we know that these teams are okay with going ahead and moving on from players to accumulate some more draft capital, it almost seems like every year in the draft, you can go ahead. If we want to get more draft picks, we can go ahead and trade this player. We can trade this player. I mean, it just seems like it's getting to be more and more okay with that type of approach.
Well, the only thing I would say is the reason why the Bills have draft capital is because they've traded some good people away.
Mm-hmm.
They traded Sammy Watkins away. Mm-hmm. They used 2 first-round picks on.
Oh, yeah.
They
traded
Ronald Darby away, a second-round pick just a couple of years ago. They traded Cordy Glenn away. That's how they accumulated this capital. I don't know if you can keep doing that year after year after year.
No, you don't want to keep continuously trade players away, but, I mean, you do see teams do it. Look at the team we always talk about here in Buffalo, the Patriots. They go ahead and trade a Jamie Collins away. It doesn't matter to them. They'll go ahead and trade guys away, guys that they actually draft. You know, and this regime, we know they traded guys away that they haven't drafted, but I think it's getting to be more common that these teams will trade players away to accumulate more draft capital if they feel like, yeah, we need to get a little bit better in whatever area of your team. I just feel like it's going to be a lot more common. It's the older way of thinking was a lot more free agency, and you don't necessarily make those trades like that. But now it just seems like these GMs are okay with making trades. So you can always move up in the draft to get somebody if you feel like you really want that person.
Maybe. I hear what you're saying. A couple of tweets to read here. This is interesting. Instinctively yours. First off, thanks for keeping Murph honest, Donald. What the heck does that mean? How do you keep me honest? I thought that was my role for you.
Oh.
I don't know what that means. As for the incognito thing, it should be recognized the Bills have been great at run blocking, but not so much as pass protect. Maybe we were going in another direction? No, this is Incognito's decision, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think they were counting on him.
Yeah. I mean, they just restructured his contract.
Yeah.
So you were counting on him for sure to be in here and be a part of this offense. Whatever this system was going to be, I think you were counting on Richie to be here next year.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Tage Rosendahl tweets it, with as many as 6 quarterbacks, none that are touted as sure things going in the first round, I think a lot of talent will fall. They could get impact players in the first 4 to 6 picks and still add a quarterback. Bean is methodical. He's not going to get excited and reach. I agree with that. He is methodical. He's not going to reach. But there is. Why do you think? Why are they going? Why are they sending folks out to Southern California this Friday to work?
It's all smokescreen, baby. I don't know.
Who are they smokescreening?
Smokescreening the Browns. Go ahead. We like them, and we're going to draft them at number 2. If you don't take them at number 1,
there's no reason for them to smokescreen anybody. They're at 12 right now. They're at 12.
Maybe they know something. Obviously, they might know something we don't know. Maybe the deal is already done verbally. We just haven't made it. We haven't leaked it yet.
Is this your way of keeping me honest? Is that what the guy's talking about?
I don't know. I'm just saying.
You're confusing me.
I don't know what they're doing. I think they really like these quarterbacks. I think they want to move
too.
Up there to
I do,
hello?
Too. Yeah, we got a caller on the line. Oh. You ready for a caller?
Yeah, I just heard somebody like
clearing his throat, getting ready to come on the air.
All right.
It is Stan on Grand Island. Stan, go ahead. You're on the air with us.
John, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Donald, I just wanted you to know I always respected you as a player. I'm always going to miss you for an even more important reason, and that's because you're a real gentleman and a world short on him. On the Richie Incognito thing, guys, I think the reason why you're going to miss Richie is because he's a kind of a rat, a kind of a Ken Linsman. He's kind of the kind of guy whose competitive nature is so sharp that it makes him inspire his teammates, not in a traditional leadership kind of way, but in a competitive way. I think that might have been his problem in Miami. It's kind of the reason why you love him as a player on your team, but you hate to play against him. I think we're going to miss him, but as you say, I think there is plenty of room in the draft to refurbish our offensive line, which I thought we were going to have to do anyway, simply because of age and because these blocks of granite obviously wear down. We talk about concussions to the head. How about the concussions to the body? Hundreds of times during the practice and during the season. That's got to wear down on you. thanks for taking my call, guys. I'll hang up and listen for your comments.
Good point, Stan. I think you're making a lot of good points there. Guys wear down. 34 is not young in the NFL. Richie Incognito is 34, and he's, you know, right in the middle of it. The hits on every play, right?
Yeah,
he can't escape.
Talk to a lineman. Those guys take hits every play. I mean, we talk about, because we see the wide receivers and running backs and guys on the defense get those concussions. We see that stuff, but offensive and defensive linemen, they basically go hits to the head almost every play, and so yeah, it does wear down on you, and that's one side of it. The entire part of getting ready for the season, the team is about to come in next week to start their off-season conditioning. And that is – it's a true, true marathon. And you really have to be mentally prepared for it. You have to be mentally into it, because if not, you just won't be prepared for the season. And that's the wrong thing to do, is to go into a season and not be mentally ready. But when your body is talking to you in the off-season – and you're like, yo. And, I mean, he's talking about his body is shutting down. Even guys whose body, their liver is not shutting down, their kidneys are not failing. I mean, your body does talk to you when you wake up and you get out of the bed and you're like, oh, man, my shoulder hurts. Why does my shoulder hurt? I don't even know what I did to my shoulder.
Even
you know?
This deep into the offseason?
This deep into the offseason. Guys, when you wake up and you get out of bed, you feel all of that stuff, you know. And so it's like, all right, well, now I got to go back to Buffalo and for this offseason workout. That's probably in my contract for me to be there, even though it's voluntary. You know, guys have bonuses. Exactly. Yeah. There's bonuses that are tied to this stuff. And so let me go back to Buffalo, leave my family here, wherever I'm from. Let's just say Louisiana in terms of Kyle Williams. Leave my family here and start getting ready for another season. And then you got to go through the entire season. It's not really an easy thing to do every single year. People look at the money side of it. Yeah, you're making some money here. But your body hurts. It hurts every single year, and you do wear down after a certain amount of time.
Let's take a phone call here from Brian in Tonawanda. Brian, go ahead. You're on the air with us.
Yeah, I'm just calling to say, you know, why are we talking about quarterbacks when we have A.J. McCarron? He won back-to-back national championships. None of the quarterbacks in this draft have done that.
That did not sound – what was that sigh for?
I mean, there's a reason why these guys are higher rated than A.J. McCarron. I look forward to watching A.J. McCarron play. He is likely to be the starter on opening day for the Bills this year. He's a fifth-round pick who's only played four games in the NFL. There's an opportunity to get a real difference-making quarterback in this draft. No guarantees, obviously. That's why we're talking about other quarterbacks.
Yeah, but – all I'm saying is I agree with the callers before that if we took our six picks in the first three rounds and we took three offense and three defense, key making, you know, difference players, I mean, if Tyrod could get us into the playoffs, I'm sure A.J. McCarron could do the same thing.
Well, the goal is to win championships, number one, Brian. And the second thing is, just as there are no guarantees for any of these quarterbacks, there are no guarantees for the guard you choose in the second round or the linebacker you choose in the first round. Those aren't locks either, you know. I mean, it's the draft. It's an inexact science. There's luck involved. You can't guarantee that the tight end you draft in round three is going to play and be great in the NFL, be good in the NFL, just as you can't guarantee the quarterback you draft in round one is a lock to be a Hall of Famer. You can't. It's the same deal. It's an inexact science. You got six draft picks in the first three rounds. You got a draft that is got some really serious quarterback talent up near the top, rated highly by virtually everyone. It's not just the Bills who like this draft
class. It's not just Daniel Jeremiah.
It's not just Daniel Jeremiah. Virtually every team is interested in these quarterbacks for a reason. They're pretty good, and the Bills need a quarterback. That's why. It's pretty simple. There's no subterfuge going on here. What, and you're so quiet, you're not going to –
Well, me? I mean
– Who, me? I agree with you. You don't give away everything.
That's
to get a
my thing.
Yeah,
don't give
that.
Away
I'm
everything.
That.
To get
there's
going to
be a point. The Bills might find it. The price at which they're not willing to spend to get one of these quarterbacks.
Right. Exactly.
They might get there. They might find it and have to settle for maybe not even draft a quarterback in the first or second rounds.
I mean,
but
just...
I think what I do think when you hear of when you watch what they've done since last year on draft day, I'm repeating myself. And when you see that they're going out west to work out Darnold on Friday, you got to believe they're still interested in looking into these quarterbacks, these top-level quarterbacks, on a very deep basis. And I think that's where we're at.
It's kind of like if you're buying a hot tub, right? And you're like, you know what? I need this hot tub. My body hurts when I go home. And, you know, this would be great to have. But when they come and they give you a price, you're like, whoa, I don't want to pay that for a hot tub.
Exactly. Something like that.
Something like that.
Thanks for keeping me honest. We got a break coming here. We'll take more of your phone calls, 803-0550. And toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Richie Incognito says he's retiring. What does that mean to him? What does that mean to the Bills? Give us a call and let us know what you think. John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy and Donald Jones in our One Buffalo studio. Richie Incognito creating news. In some respects, we got to thank Richie on a slow Tuesday, Donald.
Yeah.
Give us something to talk about.
Give us something to talk about here.
Thank you, Richie.
Thanks, Richie.
On the other hand, it's probably not what the Bills were looking for. Richie Incognito says that he is retiring due to health issues. What do you think of that? Give us a call, 803-0550, and toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. The Bills are going to have to keep it in mind as they go through the draft, Donald, but I don't think it dramatically changes or should change their draft plan. Do you?
I don't think that they should change their draft plan at all. I don't think that they will change their draft plan. Like I said, this is not one of your I don't want to say this is not a key position, because offensive line, you don't have an offensive line, it's hard to play in this game. But interior offensive linemen you can find really at any point throughout the course of the draft. You can find good ones. You can find good players really at any position, but especially interior offensive linemen, guards, centers. You can find those at any point in the draft. So you don't change your plans. You are in a position right now to get a quarterback. If you feel like you want to get that guy, if you really love that guy, you're in a position to get that guy. And if not, then you're in position to get, like, stud linebackers, guys that will quarterback your defense for a long time. You're in position to get, you know, key wide receivers and things like that. So, for me, you don't change your draft plan because of a guard that is now saying he's going to retire.
Did you see a couple of weeks ago at the owners' meetings, Sean McDermott did an interview in which he said, he spoke to candidates about the first 90 days he felt like he was trying to get a drink out of a fire hose. I mean, just stuff keeps coming in. And that was his first 90 days. Now, here we are. He is, 14, 15 months into his head coaching career in the NFL. I wonder if that's changed at all for him. Stuff like this comes up. Ooh. Who anticipated this, right? Nobody.
I don't know if that ever changes for a coach.
I don't think so.
I don't think that ever changes. And I think things like this you don't want and you don't expect it. But at the same time, it's almost like – you know, and Sean McDermott is a guy who has been taught. He's always talked about leaning on other coaches. And I'm sure they've said to him, listen, it's going to be some things that come at you. This thing is never going to settle down. And the better you get, the more high profile your team gets, the more high profile you get, which means it's always going to be a lot busier and busier and busier for you personally, for your team, always trying to find better players. I mean, imagine if this team was the Patriots right now, you still got to find ways to get better because everybody's gunning at you. You got teams that are pulling your guys away because guys want to go get paid and all of that stuff. So I don't think it will ever calm down for Sean McDermott, especially if it's going good here.
It doesn't calm down.
No.
I don't think it does. Mm-mm. And today is more evidence of that. Richie Incognito announces that he's ready to retire because of health issues. He told the Buffalo News, my liver and kidneys are shutting down. He said, nothing I cannot restore with some balance, but the stress is killing me. We'll talk more about that. We're going to talk to our next guest about that. He is Evan Silva, Roto World Senior Football Editor, Draft Analyst. We'll talk to him about the draft and maybe what this does to the Bills' draft plans. That's coming up next. The John Murphy Show returns in a moment. We're coming to you live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
The update comes from One Bills Drive. The news from One Bills Drive, veteran guard Richie Incognito says he's retiring because of health issues. He told the Buffalo News today, "I'm done. That's it." Says his liver and kidneys are shutting down. He says he can restore them with some balance, but he's decided to retire. Incognito says he's told owner Terry Pegula and the Bills coach and GM about it. Incognito, 34 years of age. He's been with the Bills 3 years, gone to the Pro Bowl for the last 3 years. Richie Incognito announces that he's retiring from the NFL at age 34. Bills scheduled to go out west for a private workout with USC quarterback Sam Darnold on Friday this week, reportedly. Meantime, the Jets are going to host Sam Darnold at their facility in the coming days, according to NFL Network. Darnold expected to be one of the top quarterbacks selected in the draft in 2.5 weeks. Raiders linebacker Khalil Mack, former NFL Defensive Player of the Year, was a no-show for the first day of the Oakland Raiders' voluntary offseason workouts. They got the start a week earlier because of new head coach John Gruden, but Mack decided not to attend. He's awaiting a contract extension. The workouts, Gruden said, would be heavy on strength and conditioning side, and they are voluntary. Andrew Luck says he's still not throwing a regulation football, but he's not revealing the timetable on when that might happen. No timetable, but he said, "I'm not going to tell you when it happens." His right shoulder injury has been the focal point of the Colts organization since he underwent surgery in January of 2017. Sabres headed for the offseason now after their exit meetings with management and cleaning out their lockers yesterday. General manager Jason Bottrell expected to address the media in an offseason, end-of-season news conference tomorrow. No time set yet for that news conference. And it took the Bisons 4 attempts to get their season underway, but they did last night in Pawtucket. First game of the season. Tim Lopes' single off the glove of the second baseman in the top of the 12th scored a free base runner and lifted the herd to a 4-3 win over Pawtucket. They play there again tonight, 6:15. Home opener for the Bisons is coming up on Thursday. That is the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Donald Jones in our One Buffalo studio. The Richie Incognito news adds a little bit more intrigue to the Bills draft. A little bit more. We're trying to get a sense of that from you on the telephone line. Guy who's all over the draft is the Roto-World senior football editor and NFL draft analyst. Happy to have Evan Silva on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline with us. Evan, thanks for joining us. John Murphy and Donald Jones here in Buffalo. How much do you think the Incognito news should impact the Bills draft plans?
I don't think it impacts their draft plans that much. But it is clear that they are not going to be fielding nearly as good an offensive line as they have fielded for the last several seasons. I mean, they've lost a lot of talent on the offensive line. Eric Wood and Richie Incognito and Cordy Glenn. And I realize that they think that, you know, Deion Dawkins can be his successor, but there was a time where they had a lot of depth on the O-line and a bunch of quality starters, and now they're relying on guys like Russell Bodine, struggled in Cincinnati. Ryan Groy, I think, is a promising young offensive lineman and a guy that they matched that offer sheet from the Rams for last offseason. I think that they probably think he should be a starter this year. Vlad Dukas played better than I think people would have expected last year, and Jordan Mills is just kind of like a league average right tackle. But their offensive line has gone from a situation where they had a top five offensive line over the last 1 or 2 years, and now, you know, you worry about it could be a bad offensive line.
Evan, it sounds like you're saying LeSean McCoy should be worried.
I think that the foremost person that should be worried, I think that it could influence their I think that there's just a bunch of factors that could influence what they do in the draft, because obviously they have stockpiled these six top 100 picks, and now they have question marks in the receiver core and the offensive line. And so do you want to bring a young quarterback that you trade a lot of draft capital to go get and drop him into a situation that might be less than ideal, or do you just use those six picks and try to put a bunch of young talent on your roster, a bunch of guys that will be on rookie deals that will be very affordable, and you sit back and take a quarterback like Mason Rudolph at number 22.
Evan, Donald and I have been discussing this since the Incognito news broke. Yes, we know that he's been in the Pro Bowl for 3 consecutive years, but how good was Richie Incognito? How big a loss do you think he is? And let's leave Eric Wood and Cordy Glenn out of it for a second. How big a loss is Incognito?
I think he was good. I mean, I think that he was an asset on the offensive line. He was certainly getting older and probably only had a couple years left anyways, maybe, of playing at a high level. So, you know, you were probably going to move on from him within the next couple of years anyway. But I think that removing him from the equation, now you just go to question marks because you had a sort of sure thing in Rich Incognito, at least for this year, and now you move into more of an unknown situation where you're probably putting Ryan Groy in at left guard, or you're maybe even drafting, because this is a good class for interior offensive linemen. You might even be looking at drafting a starter with one of those top 100 picks.
You know, Evan, we've been asking people, does this change the Bills' draft plan? And so we've been I am of the opinion that interior offensive linemen you could find at any point in the draft. And that's really any position. But guards and centers, you really can find at any point in the draft. So I don't think that it changes you. But what's the depth of the offensive line play in this year's draft? And do you believe in drafting guards and centers in the first round?
I don't think that they should use one of their first-round picks on an offensive lineman. I think that it just varies class to class. I think that the general consensus is that there are a couple of decent tackles, but maybe no left tackles at the top of the draft, like Mike McGlinchey out of Notre Dame, considered one of the best tackle prospects. A lot of evaluators just think he's a right tackle. But on the interior offensive line, I'm with you that in the second and third rounds, those might be areas where they could find some value. Ultimately, the Bills just need good football players. I mean, they're sort of in like a halfway rebuild phase. They do have a lot of cap space forthcoming in future years. And I think that it's a real possibility that if they can't execute a deal to get to that number two pick, or maybe the number four pick with the Browns, but I think in an ideal world, they get up and take Josh Rosen at number two. But now you have to really consider, especially after the Jets got up there, you have to consider maybe just using all these picks that you stockpiled to add more young talent to your roster, and offensive guard or maybe center would be a position where you could use one of those day two picks. But, I mean, you need pass rushers. You know, you can use more wideout help for sure, and you need help throughout your defensive front seven. But you know, having those picks does give you flexibility because it seemed like at one point in time there was just no way around it. They were definitely going to trade up. I think that all the factors all the developments and the situations that have occurred since it appeared to be that way, they may end up sitting tight and just taking a bunch of young, good players with those picks.
I want to get into some of those players, including the quarterbacks with you, Evan, but I have one more question for you about overall draft – actually, two more questions about overall draft strategy. Did the Jets move up in the trade with the Colts? Did that boost the price for anyone else, including the Bills, who want to move up into the first couple picks, or was that about normal, what you might expect to move up that high?
It was a very aggressive move by the Jets. I mean, it was a big swing. It was a big hack. You know, it was giving up one second-round pick per slot climbed at the top of the draft. That's a steep price to pay. Theoretically, that's three cheap starters. You know, three projected top 50 picks over the next two drafts, two in this one and one in the next one. That's a very steep price to pay. And it not only, like, locked in the Jets to one of those premium quarterback slots in the draft, but it also, you know, that's your division rival. And, you know, it did sort of set a market price. So they're going to have to be talking. If they want to get up there, they're going to have to be talking with the Giants and the Browns. And if they trade with the Browns, you know, the ideal situation is to deal with the Giants. But if they end up trading with the Browns, then they'll be taking, like, the quarterback that the Jets passed on. You know, so there's a lot of, like, different divisional elements to this. And it's going to make for a very exciting and really interesting draft. I hope that the Bills are able to come out of it with a quarterback that they really like, whether it's, you know, sitting at number 22 and taking Mason Rudolph, one of the best downfield passers in the draft, or getting up to that number two pick and taking Josh Rosen.
All right, one more draft overview question for you, Evan. Evan Silva is our guest, Roto World senior football editor, NFL draft analyst. And this came from a caller in the first hour. Robert from Portland, Oregon, wanted us to ask you about this draft class overall, 2018. Not just quarterbacks, but how do you rate the 2018 draft compared to other draft years? How does this draft class rate?
I mean, I think that the general consensus, and we really won't know until a couple of years down the road, you know, which is always the case. But I think the general consensus is that it is a pretty top-heavy draft, that there are 10 to 15 premium players, and the strongest position in the draft is quarterback. So it is a good year to have all those picks in the first three rounds like the Bills do. And now they just have to, you know, formulate a plan and have a fallback plan, and hopefully they can execute one of their preferred plans, because there is still a lot of uncertainty with how this thing is going to go.
Evan, if the Bills can't execute their first plan, then they have to execute their fallback plan. In your opinion, what do the Bills do then? What are their needs, number one, number two, number three, in your opinion? Should they go linebacker, receiver? That's basically what I'm asking you.
Yeah, the wide receiver class, you know, I think you could take – I think you can take those guys in the middle to late rounds. I mean, it's not a top-heavy wide receiver class at all. The talent is all considered to be, you know, second through fifth rounds. I think that obviously quarterback is their biggest need, and I think that they certainly need to add some talent at linebacker. I think they need another pass rusher, though. And, you know, so if they can, I don't know, there's so much mystery to the draft, and this is what makes it fun, but, you know, get a good pass rusher at 12 and then get that quarterback in Mason Rudolph at number 22, that would be at least an interesting strategy. I don't think that Lamar Jackson is going to be on their radar just because of how they talk about the kind of quarterback that they're targeting. They want a pure drop-back passer. Mason Rudolph more fits into that, of course, than Lamar Jackson, who's an explosive dual-threat run-pass playmaker.
Evan Silva, NFL draft analyst for RotoWorld.com, on the line with us. Bills, Ian Rappaport reported yesterday, the Bills are headed out west Friday. The decision makers in the draft, the scouts, maybe even some coaching staff members, out west to work out Sam Darnold. What are they going to see there from Darnold, number one, and why do you think they're doing that? If it's going to be as difficult as you project for them to move up to get in position to draft Sam Darnold?
Yeah, I'd expect Sam Darnold to look great in the workout. I mean, it's a controlled environment. He is he's a gunslinger. He's got a great arm. I think he reminds me a little bit of Matthew Stafford. Maybe even a little bit more athletic. I think that the reason that they're going to work him out is because there is a possibility that Sam Darnold could be available at the number two pick. And that's because we've heard more and more lately that the Browns might be zeroing in on Josh Allen at number one. And so there's a belief, at least among like the Giants reporters, the guys covering the team, that the Giants would take Sam Darnold at number two. But the Bills need to be prepared for the possibility that Sam Darnold is available at number two, and then the Giants contact them to trade down, and then maybe the Bills could go get Sam Darnold. They just need to be prepared for a lot of different scenarios that could occur in the draft. You know, they need to have contingency plans, and they certainly need to go research one of the top quarterbacks in the draft and get to know him. What if he lands in their division?
Yeah.
You know, you want to know about all the guys in the draft, especially the quarterbacks. You want to know their strengths and weaknesses. You want to know them personally.
You know, Evan, you stole my thunder there. I was just about to ask you. I mean, what can they get from a workout like this late really in the game when you've seen everything from him on film? You've seen him throw at his pro day. He didn't throw at the combine. You probably sat down with him in a couple of different instances. So what can you get from a workout like this so late in the game?
I think it's just being around him. You know, and if you get the opportunity to draft him and make him the franchise, the face of your franchise, you want to know him as well as you possibly can. So, I mean, this is what all teams are doing this time of year. They're holding the private workouts. They're doing the top 30 visits. And, you know, the Bills, as a team that needs a quarterback, they need to be putting a lot of time into researching, especially at the top of the quarterback class, and to know the later round guys. But certainly to put in this time and understand what they're getting into if they do have the opportunity to draft Sam Darnold. And certainly his tape is there, and you can watch his tape. But I think that just being around him, I think that matters, and having that human touch, that matters a lot to NFL decision makers, and it should, I think.
Hey, Evan, what has Josh Allen done, or what have teams seen from Wyoming's Josh Allen in recent months to, you know, move him up the board where, to the point where the Cleveland Browns might be ready to pull him off the board with the number one pick?
Well, he had a great Wonderlic score, and he has looked great at his pro day. And he threw, I mean, he was a rocket, you know, he was a rocket launcher at the combine. He is really athletic. He showed that. And I think that they really like they think he has like the it factor, and, you know, he checks a lot of boxes. Like he's a, I think, NFL decision makers think he's a leader. He certainly looks the part, you know, he's a guy that you can trot out, you know, at a press conference and you're, there's your guy, you know, you can feel proud about him. I think that that has kind of helped explain the rise, but at the same time, I mean, how big of a rise is it really? Because truly there were rumors that Josh Allen could go number one to the Browns in January, and he has always been discussed really high at the top of this draft, even though there are significant, you know, red flags on his resume, beginning with his low completion rate, the fact that, you know, the Wyoming coach there didn't really build the offense around his quarterback. He was very much a run-heavy offense. He, you know, doesn't react well to pressure at times. There are a lot of red flags there, but I think that there are also a lot of aspects to his profile, to Josh Allen's profile, that teams really, really like.
You know, Evan, you keep stealing my thunder here. I don't know what is the deal, but, you know, when you take a quarterback or you take a player in the draft, in any draft, number one overall, you got to expect him to come in and play right away. Now, Josh Allen is a guy that, and I know, it, you know, we've seen quarterbacks still sit even though they've gone number one overall. But Josh Allen is a guy who, amongst these top four quarterbacks, I think he might be the one with the most question marks. You know, he or Baker Mayfield, but he is the one with a lot of question marks. You don't hear, you know, from a Josh Rosen, you hear, well, this guy is the most pro ready. And when you draft a guy, don't you want that guy that's the most pro ready? It's confusing to me.
I'm with you, Donald. And, you know, I think that the Browns maybe they have been able to talk themselves into Josh Allen because they may view him as a multi-year project, but they just got Tyrod Taylor. And, you know, Hugh Jackson has already come out and said, hey, we're playing Tyrod Taylor this year. He's our starter. So they could maybe even use that as a reason to convince themselves more so of Josh Allen because, hey, we have this guy that we can use for a year at least, and we can have Josh Allen sit behind him and learn or whatever. You know, I'm very much of the belief, and I'm very much with you, Donald, that the way that player, that quarterbacks, that really pretty much any player, I mean, think about this at any stage of athletics. I mean, I think Donald Jones, you played some baseball, didn't you?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you know, how do you get better at a sport? It's by playing, right? I mean,
right.
It's not by watching other dudes. I mean, yeah, sure, you can pick things up, but in any sport, man, playing the game, that's how you get better at it, mm-hmm. with very few exceptions.
Hey, I want to take you off the draft for a second here, Evan, while we have a couple of minutes left of you. Ask you about a couple of, speaking of guys who need to play, haven't played in a while, Andrew Luck, who says he's not a perfect athlete right now, still not throwing the Duke, the real football, which Donald has in his hand right now. Where are the Colts going with this, and how concerned should the Indianapolis Colts be?
I don't know. I can tell you that I read, like, medical experts on the situation, though, and you know, their line is that the Colts just don't know right now, and they won't know until Andrew Luck starts throwing a real football. And Andrew Luck hasn't been able to throw a real football for a sustained stretch in like over a year and a half.
Yeah.
So I think they should absolutely be concerned. Their movement suggests that they aren't super concerned, though, because they did trade out of one of those premium quarterback slots. They do have Jacoby Brissett, who's young. He had some good moments last year. He was up and down, but that was his first year as a starter. They do have him as a pretty good and cheap insurance policy, but I think that the Colts just don't know, and it doesn't matter what Jim Irsay says. Like, their owner last year, January 2017, was promising that Andrew Luck would be ready for week one. He guaranteed that Andrew Luck would be ready for week one. They even started him in camp on the PUP list and then pulled him off as if he was going to be ready
for week one, and then it was week one and week two and week five and week six, and he wasn't ready, and then they just shut him down for the season. I don't believe anything that the Colts say about Andrew Luck, and I'm not going to believe that there is real progress until we see him throwing an actual football and, you know, practicing with his teammates.
I'm going to see Frank Reich this Saturday morning. He's coming to Buffalo.
You want to ask him?
I'll ask him. What do you think? You want me to ask him, Evan? I'll get back to you. You think he'll tell me the truth?
No.
I don't think so either.
He probably doesn't know.
He probably doesn't know. You're right.
I mean, Andrew Luck has come out and said, I'm not the perfect athlete right now. Whatever that means, I'm not healthy enough right now to go out there and play football. And so, for me, it's almost like, yeah, you guys traded back out of one of those premium slots, but I think – at some point, you'd have to believe that they'd take a quarterback, at least in the second, third round, somewhere in there, if they have those picks.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, they do have Jacoby Brissett, so, and he was decent last year. He's really young. He could get better. That's their insurance policy right now, but you're right. Hey, if we get to the draft and they take a second or they use a second or third round pick on a quarterback, that would be a real red flag on Andrew Luck.
I got one more NFL issue to ask you about, Evan, and that's the Patriots. We're obsessed with the Patriots here in Buffalo. And the recent, I don't know if it's friction between Belichick and Gronkowski, but certainly Gronkowski's use of Tom Brady's trainer seems to be a point of contention there. And maybe that's a bigger issue than any of us know out there in Foxborough. What do you make of that?
Yeah, it could be. It's definitely interesting. It definitely adds credence to the Seth Wickersham report that came out last year toward the end of the season, that there is actual friction inside the Patriots organization. And a lot of people like attacked ESPN for that at the time because they thought that there's like some sort of anti-Patriots bias at ESPN. Seth Wickersham is like one of the best reporters, best like long form reporters that I've ever seen, you know, as long as I've been covering this sport. And he's like a legit, really good reporter. And a lot of people attacked him. But clearly there is friction inside the, and a lot of it begins with that, with Alex Guerrero, the Tom Brady 12 trainer. And Rob Gronkowski felt like he was really benefiting from training with Alex Guerrero because there was a time in his career fairly recently where he started to look really stiff and he didn't look as explosive and athletic as he used to be. And then he felt like working with Alex Guerrero improved his flexibility. And so he was really happy with those results. But Bill Belichick has this thing against Alex Guerrero, and he thinks that he's like a threat to the team. And he was even like told to stay away from the team at one point last year. So it just kind of confirms the Seth Wickersham article in some ways.
Yeah.
And it also goes to show that even this team that has dominated the NFL for 20 years, guess what? They have a lot of disagreements in their building too.
Yeah, they keep a lid on them pretty good, though, too.
Yep.
Evan, thank you for this. We appreciate it. Good luck as the draft approaches. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, guys, for having me.
Evan Silva is senior football editor at rotoworld.com. He and our buddy Josh Norris have teamed up on a team-by-team analysis. They've got the Bills' draft needs, and Josh Norris picked players for the Bills up on rotoworld.com. Evan is also the host of the Roto World Football Podcast, senior football editor at rotoworld.com. Evan Silva joined us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, Subway Eat Fresh. Evan agrees, I think, with you and I on the impact of the incognito move. Shouldn't really affect the Bills' overall draft strategy, I would not think, especially early on, huh?
Yeah, no, and he said, look, that guard position is a position you can find really at any point in the draft. And so, no, it shouldn't change your way of thinking early on in the draft. Maybe if you want to take one second, third round, but not in the first round.
What do you think? Richie Incognito announced that he's ready to retire from the NFL at age 34, says it's because of health reasons. What does that do for the Bills? What does that do to the Bills' draft strategy? Give us a call, 803-0550, and toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Here is Dave in Lancaster. Dave, go ahead. You're on the air. Dave, are you still there? Does that sound
Dave,
like Dave?
We talked about this. No.
It sounds like Dave's gone, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Let's go to
like a quiet place.
Rex in Tonawanda. Hello, Rex.
Hey, guys. Long-time listener, first-time caller. How are you?
Good, Rex. Good. Thank you.
Good, good. With this recent news of Incognito, I really think right now we need to focus on filling up the holes that we have here. And, you know, don't oversell. Just stay with the draft picks that you have and try to, yeah, we gotta fill our holes on the team. It's becoming too much.
I disagree, Rex, and I'll tell you why. You're going to let a 34-year-old guard, is Evan Silva, outside observer just pointed out, maybe with, what, a year or two left with the Bills, you're going to let his presence or not determine your overall draft strategy when it comes to possibly filling the franchise quarterback, finding the franchise quarterback you've needed for a decade and a half, almost two decades? You're going to let Richie Incognito's decision affect that?
Well, I guess when you put it that way, I mean, yeah, you bring up a good argument.
Oh, Rex, you backed off too quickly.
Yeah, that was way too easy, Rex.
Donald, you're going to let Richie Incognito, a 34-year-old guard, pretty good guard, you're going to let his let me see if you can handle this better than Rex. Okay. You're going to let his decision impact whether you go out and get a franchise-caliber quarterback and you have a chance to do it this year? You're going to let that happen?
Well, I guess since you brought it up that way.
Somebody push back. Come on. I don't care. Push back at me. React to me. No, come on. Tell me. How am I wrong? I want to hear reasons why.
Because Richie Incognito has been that guy. All right, think about it. 2 years ago, when LeSean McCoy, when they were the number one rushing team, what'd you see? Richie Incognito pulling around, knocking guys out the way. Yep. This year, when the offensive line was going with the zone, they could get nothing moving. Then when they switch over and you start to see Richie pulling again, then what? Now you see LeSean McCoy going off again. So that is a big piece of your offensive line. Plus, the Eric Wood now not being there, both of those guys in the middle are gone. So, yeah, you need to figure out what it is that you want you need to bring in here, and that could be early on in the draft. So that could change the way you are going about this draft.
Do you really believe that, or you're just
– you wanted me to make the argument.
You
so did.
You did better than Rex did on the phone. A break here. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. Donald and I coming to you live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
John Murphy and Donald Jones here until 3. You're welcome to join us. We've got lines open, 803-0550, and toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. If you missed the news, came out about mid-morning today, maybe late morning today, Richie Incognito telling the Buffalo News he is retiring due to health issues. The quote, I'm done, that's it. Richie said, it's been a long career. My liver and kidneys are shutting down. Nothing I can't restore with some balance, but the stress is killing me. Richie went on to say that he's talked to Terry Pegula about it, Brandon Bean, and Sean McDermott. You would think that makes it kind of official. Richie's 34 years old, sent a tweet to the NFLPA and its assistant executive director, George Atala, saying that he was done. Had the tweet last week where he fired his agents, and we have not talked to him. I don't know if we will.
This is the day and age we live in. Everything goes out via tweets.
Yeah.
You know, it's all of a sudden, obviously, but, you know, with him firing his agent last week, I don't think that was a sign. This right here just came really for me out of left field. Wasn't expecting this one, especially with the fact that he had just redone his contract. You know, you got to believe, and then you're a team that's coming off of a playoff run, new offensive coordinator. I don't know. He's saying that his health is the issue, and got to take him at his word.
Yeah. What does it do to the Bills? Our Twitter poll today, do the Bills reexamine what they do in the draft because of Richie Incognito's decision? You can give us a call and let us know what you think on Twitter. We put the question this way. Does Richie Incognito's decision, does that make the Bills how concerned are you about the Bills' offensive line? Now, 57% of you say you're very concerned. 37% say, you know, this is significant, but the Bills can fix it. 6% say not concerned at all. Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. A call here from Don in Cheektowaga. Hello, Don. Go ahead. You're on the air with us. Hi, Don. Go ahead, buddy.
Good afternoon, guys. How are you this afternoon?
Okay.
Good.
First of all, Donald, I want to wish you best of luck. I know this is your last week with John, and you've done a great job. You guys have made a nice pair at 12 o'clock noon. So
Thank you.
Good luck to you. Not sure the reason why you're leaving or what happened, but best of luck.
What is the reason, Donald? Why don't you clear that
it's
up?
Oh, family, man. Going back home to family and missing my peeps.
I figured that as much. Hey, family's always first, always before work.
Right.
So Second thing, I want to talk about Richie. Yeah, that is a little bit of a shock, but you almost wonder if this has been going on for a little bit because they did restructure. Maybe he did restructure to help them with the cap issues. But I think the biggest thing they're going to miss with Richie is obviously the leadership in the middle of that offensive line with him and Eric Wood, both obviously the most seasoned vets that are going to be gone. That, I think, is going to take a huge hit. But we did hear Bean and McDermott say this team's got to get younger. So we kind of, if you look at his contract, this was going to be his last year anyway, most likely.
Mm-hmm.
So John Miller is still a young guy. And 2 years ago, he was he did very well in that scheme we had last year for some reason. When we went to the zone scheme, and I heard Donald talk about this, he just did not fit whatsoever. And to be honest with you, Richie didn't have a great year last year. I mean, he was steady, but the scheme they had didn't fit what he does well, you know, in that power blocking, and we ran the ball. I mean, I think we took a huge step backwards when the running game last year. So do I think we're going to draft a guard? I think we could, but I think that all depends how many picks we use to possibly go up into that top five and grab a quarterback. So I don't know. It could be iffy depending on the draft picks. I don't think it will be the number one priority, but if we do keep our picks, I think we will draft a guard, but it depends where. So I will hang up and listen to you guys. And again, Donald, best of luck to you.
Hey, thank you, man. Thank you.
Don brings up a number of good points, I think, there in his comments, including what does this mean for John Miller? It could mean something for John Miller. Yes, you're right. I mean, he was not a part of the offense last year, Donald, and I guess it was fit, you know, what they tried to do on the offensive line. I guess that's why it didn't work out for him. Then they changed up. They sort of evolved offensive line play as the season went along, and Miller never really got a shot after that. Maybe this provides John Miller with a second chance. What
John
do you think?
Miller was a healthy scratch for a lot of the year, you know, and the year before, John Miller arguably was one of your best offensive linemen.
Yep.
And coming into last year, you thought, man, John Miller, you know, John Miller's a good young offensive lineman, up and coming, ready to go. And he didn't get that shot.
Nope.
You know, he was, like I said, a healthy scratch. But with the new offensive coordinator, you never know. And John Miller could be in the talks amongst the coaches as, look, you got to get another look at this guy and see what he has once we get in here into the spring and once we get into training camp. And maybe John Miller ends up back in that spot. I know he was showing really real signs of promise in his second year in this league. His third year didn't work out according to his plans, but hopefully he gets another shot at it.
John Miller only played in 4 games for the Buffalo Bills last year. And looking at, he was inactive for 12 games. Was it the entire last 12? Yes, it was. Played in the first 4 games, started the first 4 games, and inactive the rest of the season. I don't know. I mean, we're just speculating, but that's the kind of thing that could happen in a situation like this, especially the timing of a situation like this, right? Isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, because you don't want to panic if you are a coach or a GM, and you're going to look at you already know your roster. You know what talent you have on your roster. And so when something like this comes out of left field, then it's like, okay, let's look back at the roster. Before we get into panic mode, what do we have on the roster already? Well, we have a guy who played well, didn't play for us this past year, but the year before that he played well. Maybe we need to get another look at this guy.
Yeah.
We got a new system coming into place, a new offensive coordinator. Let's get a look at him.
We don't know what Daboll's plan is, right, for the offense.
Right,
maybe
exactly.
He's a better fit with Daboll's style of offense. I don't know. Guy to keep an eye on now for sure. Greg on the line from Rochester. Hi, Greg, go ahead. You're on the air with us.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Okay.
I think that somebody made the point, you know, finding a person even in the middle or later rounds of the draft, you know, you can always probably find somebody to plug in. But I think the biggest challenge that I think is going to happen is you always hear that catchphrase, you know, how well do they gel together? And so I think they really got to take the time and pick the right people, however many holes they got to fill, you know, try to make sure as much as possible that those guys are going to work well together and they're going to be able to communicate, you know, especially in, you know, offensive blocking schemes. So that probably, I think, will be the biggest thing that they should be concerned about is, you know, are those guys going to work well together?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, Greg. I don't know if it's the number one consideration, but certainly I believe it is a consideration. Look, they need to find good players, and then they need to put their particular brand of culture on those good players. I think the first goal, Donald, and I could be wrong here, is to find really good players.
Typically you are.
Find really good players and then find out if they're good culture guys, if they're good teammates, if they fit into the locker room. But the first thing you got to do is find the best players, I think, right?
Yeah, you got to find good players. And once you look at these guys on film, you say, ooh, let me go talk to this guy. And then that's where you find out the personality and all that stuff. And then you're like, well, now he has a combination of he's a good player. We see that on film, but he's a great guy. And so he fits into to what we're trying to build here, the culture we're trying to build here. But the first thing you're going to see, obviously, when your scouts, they turn on film first, or when they go to a game to watch a kid, or they go to a practice to watch a kid at a school, the first thing they see is that person actually playing. Then they talk to the coaches. They talk to whoever to get the background on the kid.
Yeah, and I think these guys, that's the way they do it, right? They find the good players first, the guys that might interest them there, and then make sure that they fit into
make
what
sure
they want to put together.
Yeah, and then that's kind of like the icing on the cake.
Here's a call from Tom on Grand Island. Tom, go ahead. You're with us on the air. Hi.
Hey, guys. I'm going to say thank you to Richie Incognito if he really is retiring, because I think that he's played his heart out here. I think he, in a way, he kind of like revamped his career after everything that happened in Miami. And I also don't think that it changes our draft plans at all, but still, I think he was a great player for us.
Yeah, good points. I got to say, good point. And maybe we have not expressed that, Donald, but I think Richie was a heck of a pickup back in, 2015 now, right? 15, 16, 17?
Mm-hmm.
Heck of a pickup, a guy that no one else wanted, no one else would touch. I mean, he was poison. He was the third rail for a while. And to their credit, the Bills, the Pegulas went out and met with him. Rex Ryan went out and met with him. They went out, and Doug Whaley, met with Incognito several times, I believe, and found out that he was serious about coming back. And he was serious about coming back. He came back and performed at a pretty – I never anticipated he was going to make three consecutive Pro Bowls. We can debate what that means, but he did it. Mm-hmm. Three straight Pro Bowls for the Bills. I wouldn't – some people have said they'll miss his leadership. I don't know if I would go that far, but they'll miss his play for sure. And they will miss his attitude, kind of a scrappy I don't know how to define it, maybe a borderline, approaching the edge attitude. Yeah, there's something to be said for that. And I think I like the fact that caller just thanked him for that. I think Richie put in three solid years here. I hope he's all right. I hope, he mentioned that he's got issues now with
his kidneys and liver.
I hope he's okay. You can identify with that.
Oh, yeah, I definitely can identify with that. And I hope he's okay. I hope he's all right health-wise first.
Yeah.
We're talking about maybe he's done, maybe not. Well, hopefully he's all right health-wise first so that he can go on and have a healthy life. Because it doesn't matter what money you've made, any of that stuff. If you can't live a healthy life, what are we talking about here? So hopefully he's okay. But he has been a solid pickup for the Bills. A couple of Pro Bowls here. He's been that guy that we all know pulling around and clearing the way for LeSean McCoy. And it's been a great thing to see. He's been a big part of an offense that has been top 10 in rushing 3 years in a row. A big part of it. And
yeah.
So, yeah, definitely.
We're going to take a break. We got more phone calls to come and more of your thoughts on the Richie Incognito news. Says he's retiring because of health issues. What does that mean for the Bills? What does that mean for their draft plans? Give us a call, 803-0550, and toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back. John Murphy and Donald Jones talking a lot about Richie Incognito today and more of that to come. And your phone call is also coming up. What do the Bills do now? Does this change their offensive line plan in the draft? Hey, I want to talk to you about this, Donald. Ray Lewis, the great former linebacker for the Baltimore Ravens, newly minted Hall of Fame linebacker, had some stuff to say about Odell Beckham Jr. Speaking on Colin Cowherd's program yesterday, Ray Lewis said... he had worked with Odell Beckham Jr. in the past. It says, Odell Beckham is drifting away from religion. Here's the quote from Ray Lewis. I started to see he started to distance himself a little more and a little more and a little more. Listen to me. I don't care about religion. I'm talking about a foundation. This is Ray Lewis talking. When your foundation is disturbed, when everything you are doing is the opposite of what got you to this place, you're making your own life hard. Beckham fired back on Instagram did not mention Lewis by name. Ray Lewis, I have some thoughts on this. Look, I get Ray Lewis, you know, has, I guess, and changed his life, but he's got some stuff in his background, including that incident at the Super Bowl in Atlanta, where I don't know if he should be a moral advisor to anybody, including Odell Beckham Jr. I think Ray Lewis should kind of just be quiet and take his spot in the Hall of Fame, which he deserves.
Now, here's my thing with guys like Ray Lewis and guys that are mentoring people and then come out publicly and actually say something about it. You don't mentor somebody and you're trying to keep them on the right track, and then when they go off the rails a little bit, you come out publicly and say, well, you know, he's taking God out of his life and all of that stuff, so now you see him going left. What are we doing here? You were actually his mentor. You need to call him personally and try to talk to him.
Don't go public.
Right, don't go public.
Right.
You know, why? And I don't understand why we feel the need to actually do things like that. Is it because you're trying to draw attention to yourself? Well, you are going to get that attention, but that is not the way you go about things, especially if you have a lot of young players that look up to you and other people that actually mentor players. That's not the right way to go about it, especially when you've done bad things in your past, or you've been around.
Allegedly, you've been
accused of doing bad things in your past. All right, you don't have the cleanest history, so keep all of that stuff in-house between you and Odell Beckham Jr.
Good. Good point. I agree with you 100%. And that's, I guess, what bothers me, that Ray Lewis would go public with it in an interview.
Right.
And publicly question whether Odell Beckham had drifted away from whatever spirituality he had found. You know, Ray Lewis, if that's the case, as Donald said, pick up the phone, call him.
Pick up the phone and call him. Who are you to say he's drifted away from that spirituality?
Right.
He might still actually pray and be seriously a religious guy. You don't know that stuff. And even if you do know it, why would you come out publicly and say that? That's just wrong.
I believe we have the sound, right? Here's what Ray Lewis said about Odell Beckham Jr.
Where there's no God, there's chaos. Odell has removed God from his life. This is a kid that grew up under the covenant of who God really is. And everything that he's doing, he's crying out for help. We have a lot of people reporting about him, but it's always been the duty of elders to go back to help them. So that's why I raised my hand. And I told him, I'm here, whatever you need.
What do you say?
Well, it's not what he said. It was the commitment he started to make. So we started to make those phone calls. We started to have conversation. And then I started to see he started to distance himself a little more, and a little more. And the moment, just listen to me, Colin. I don't care about religion. I'm talking about a foundation.
Right.
When your foundation is disturbed.
Yeah.
When everything you're doing is the opposite of what's got you to this place.
Yes.
Then you're making your own bed hard.
In Baton Rouge, it was football.
It's simple.
His life is less football today.
It's less football. Guess why? I tell people this all the time. I just spoke at this church a couple of days ago. You show me your crowd, I will show you your future.
Look, I'm glad Ray Lewis speaks with such passion about Odell Beckham. It sounds like he wants very much to be a mentor, a guy to point him in the right direction. Pick up the phone and tell Odell that.
Right.
Don't tell Colin Cowherd that in some interview.
When you mentor somebody, that person might break down and tell you intimate secrets about their life. So you don't, and it could be about religion, whatever the case may be. So you don't come out publicly and say, oh, he's removed God from his life. Who are you to say that he's removed God from his life? Especially a guy that was supposedly mentoring him at an intimate level. To me, it's not the right thing to do.
Richie Incognito's in the news here in Buffalo. His decision to say he is done with football, citing health issues. Vic Carucci of the Buffalo News been reporting on this all day. It looks like he had a long telephone conversation with Richie in which he said, my liver and kidneys are shutting down. I went to a doctor's appointment, and they said, listen, the stress is killing you. On the health issues, Incognito said, quote, I don't have major health problems, but I went and saw some specialists down here, Arizona, and they're like, listen, from your diet, your high-carbohydrate, high-protein diet, your kidney's not functioning very well. Your liver's not functioning very well. The medical people said, we can fix all this. This is all within order. But if you keep going, you're just going to keep stressing your system out. He said, I just want to do what was best for me, and that was to retire. Says he has talked to the Terry Pegula, Brandon Bean, and Coach McDermott. He said they asked if it was a renegotiation plan. He said, this is Richie, according to Vic Carucci, he said he thinks the Bills hierarchy with whom he spoke thought he was, quote, trying to negotiate with them, but he insisted that was not the case. He said, I'm just done. So, sounds like health issues that he can handle, health issues that he can fix, but health issues he wants to fix and fix now and not keep going down the path he's going. Okay, well, you got to respect that, I guess, Donald, right?
Yeah, you got to respect it. You know, there's stuff in there about the contract and all of that stuff. But the health is first, ultimately. I mean, that's first. And you see, guys, it doesn't matter how much money you have. If your health is failing you, you need to go and get that fixed. And you can't play football anymore.
Richie said he renegotiated the deal, wasn't happy about the renegotiation, having to reportedly take a pay cut. But he said he was thinking about this even before that. And the one quote Richie Incognito spoke to Vic Hirschi, Richie said, I'm upset with a lot of the stuff, some of the reporting, but the message is I am at peace with retiring. This was not a knee-jerk reaction. Well, I think that's good to hear. I'm sorry that Richie's finished. I like having him around here. Certainly he was, not the key person, but an important person on the Bills' offensive line. But if he's at peace with it and feels good about it, then who can doubt him, right? Who can say bad move, Richie? You can't.
No, you can't. And this could be, you know, something that, like he's saying, he's probably been back and forth to the doctors. This is not just an all of a sudden thing. He's probably been back and forth to the doctors, and it's probably weighed on him a bit over the course of the last couple of months. And now he's at peace with it. It does take time for you to be at peace with it. I'll say this. I remember when I was going through this and I felt like I was at peace once I made the decision to go ahead and walk away. Now, I couldn't play football anymore, but there did come a point where it was like, oh man, I'm really not playing football anymore, you know, and that won't come for him until right around training camp. Once the guys are back in here, I mean, guys will be back in here this week, but once you guys get back to training camp and you see the preseason games and the regular season kicks off and you realize you're actually sitting on the couch watching all your boys, that's what's tough to do, and hopefully he can get through that those first couple of years.
We'll talk more about Richie in the third and final hour. Here's an interesting tweet from LEEB. If Richie Incognito plays his entire career in Buffalo, he makes the Wall of Fame. True or false?
Yeah.
You saying he would?
I
mean, if he makes Pro Bowls every year, yeah.
Yeah.
He played 3 years in Buffalo, made three Pro Bowls. He's not a Wall of Famer now. I wouldn't believe it. I wouldn't vote for him. Mm-mm. But if he plays his entire career, 12 years, as it turns out, and makes the Wall of Fame, Pro Bowl, yeah, he's a Wall of Famer.
If he was to play a couple more years and go to a couple more Pro Bowls, and you could make that. Yeah, you think about it.
I don't think he is now. A break here. When we return, we're going to talk about Sam Darnold, the Bills sending a delegation out west to work out the USC quarterback later this week.
We didn't get on that flight.
Reportedly, that would be the place to be, wouldn't it?
It would.
We're not going. We'll be here Friday. We're going to talk with a guy who knows a lot about USC football. He is Scott Wolf, Inside USC blog. Going to join us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline when we come back to talk about Sam Darnold. Come on back for that. The John Murphy Show with Donald Jones. We're live at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
Update from One Bills Drive. The Bills found out today that they have another hole to fill on their offensive line. Richie Incognito is retiring from the NFL after 12 seasons because of medical issues. He says, I'm done. That's it. That's what he told the Buffalo News. Incognito says his liver and kidneys are shutting down. He says that condition is treatable, but he says he's finished. He's 34 years old. Incognito has been with the Bills for the last 3 years, made the Pro Bowl each of those 3 years. He took a $1.7 million pay cut last month to stay with the Bills for the final season of his contract. He would have earned a $4.75 million, but Incognito says he is out, retiring from the National Football League. More on that coming up in the final hour of the show. Bills still looking at quarterbacks, visiting with some. They'll visit with Sam Darnold from USC later this week. A contingent of Bills officials headed out west for that. Other quarterbacks coming in to visit the Buffalo Bills, Mason Rudolph over the weekend, and Josh Rosen scheduled to visit the Bills this week, the UCLA quarterback. Khalil Mack skipped out of the first day of the Oakland Raiders' voluntary offseason workout program yesterday. Mac is looking for a contract extension. The workouts are voluntary, but John Gruden says he had hoped to see Khalil Mack there for the first of the workouts. Andrew Luck is confident and optimistic about returning from his shoulder injury, even though he's still not throwing a regulation football. The Indianapolis Colts started their offseason workout program yesterday in Indy. They remain hopeful that the veteran quarterback will be ready to play and will be ready to play as soon as the mandatory veteran minicamp in mid-June. Sabres now into their offseason. General manager Jason Botrill expected to announce or to address the media in an end-of-the-season news conference tomorrow. Yesterday, the Sabres cleaned out their lockers. And the Buffalo Bisons play game two of their schedule tonight in Pawtucket at 6:15. Last night, they took advantage of a new minor league baseball rule, started with a runner at second base in the 12th, wound up beating the Pawtucket Red Sox 4-3, the home opener for the herd coming up on Thursday. That is the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Donald Jones, the Richie Incognito news is front and center, but the Bills still getting ready for the draft 2.5 weeks away. That means thinking about quarterbacks, talking to quarterbacks. One of them they're expected to meet with later this week, according to Ian Rappaport of NFL Network, is Sam Darnold from USC. A Bills contingent reportedly headed out west to have a private workout for Sam Darnold. Joining us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, a man who knows all about USC football. He's the author of the Inside USC blog, former LA Daily News staff writer. Happy to have Scott Wolf on the line with us. Scott, John Murphy and Donald Jones here in Buffalo. Thanks for joining us.
How are you guys doing?
We're doing okay. Mm-hmm. Trying to figure out what exactly the Bills still need to see from Sam Darnold that they would have this private workout Friday. What do you think's afoot here?
You know, I just think NFL teams probably over-prepare for everything, and they like to take advantage of every meeting they can. And I frankly can't see him dropping to their spot. So maybe, you know, if there's a way they can move up, it's worth it to see him again and talk to him and, you know, double-check everything.
You know, Scott, this what you just said, NFL teams like to overanalyze things and, you know, they want to take every meeting, every workout they can get. This brings up a point, and we've been talking about this the last couple of weeks. You've had guys that have come out, guys that have gotten injured in these workouts. Do you yourself feel like it's becoming too much with these private workouts and different things that they're asking these players to do?
Yeah, I kind of do. I mean, if the Bills or any team had the number one pick, I think I can understand it more, or the number two pick, but you know, some of these guys are not going to be available after the first couple picks. So, you know, I don't know. And, the other thing is at USC's pro day, it was raining, and he threw in the rain. So, you know, they won't get probably better conditions to look at than that for a guy that might, you know, possibly play in Buffalo, I would think. So, but you know what? He's a great kid, and, you know, if they want to, you know, answer any doubts they might have about him, you know, why not do it again, I guess.
Is he the best quarterback, you think, available in the draft this year? What do you think of that, Scott?
I would take him if I had the number one pick simply because he's very durable. He's got great poise, very good at avoiding the pass rush, smart. No ego whatsoever. I'll give you an example of his ego. His parents had to go to USC, were asked to go to USC a couple weeks ago to pick up his Rose Bowl MVP trophy and another trophy he'd gotten at the Pac-12 title game because when they gave them to him, he didn't even want them, and he just gave them to people at USC. So he doesn't care about individual stuff, and he just likes to be a team player and win football games. So I think he'll fit in any city, any team, and he doesn't care where he goes, I don't think, either, and he'll be happy in any city.
Now, Scott, every player coming out of the draft or coming into the draft, into the NFL, has some type of flaw to their game. That's why they're prospects. So in your opinion, what are Sam Darnold's flaws, and why would they be coming out to look at him one more time?
Well, the big thing, you know, everyone talked about this year was the turnovers because he had quite a few fumbles, and he had some interceptions. I think, you know, the interceptions was more because the offensive line was not very good this year, and he was expected to kind of make more things happen on his own. So he took more chances in games, I think, than he would have normally. The fumbles were, you know, he says the way he was holding the ball, and he's been working on that in the off season. So he says he doesn't think that's going to be a problem. So maybe, you know, that's something the Bills, you know, want to answer to themselves. But I would think, you know, in the workout he did here at his pro day, he did show, you know, some good accuracy, really good accuracy. It was probably the best pro day workout I've seen. And I was here, you know, unfortunately, I can say I've seen Carson Palmer, Matt Leinart, and Mark Sanchez and Matt Barkley's workouts also. But that's how old I am. But, you know, he said he was doing some drills where he was holding the ball to show teams. He's been working on that, too. But I know when he works out, he does it at SC. And I think Friday the weather's going to be better than it was at his pro day. So maybe they want to see what he looks like in good condition.
Did I read this right? Like, on his pro day, it was rainy. Did he tell someone, or was he quoted as saying, hey, I want to do this because I want to wind up in Cleveland? In other words, is it important for him to be the first overall pick, do you think, in a couple of weeks?
No. They told him at USC, we can move your pro day.
Right.
Because it won't rain the next day. And he told them, no, I'm not going to do that. It's not fair to everybody, and I want to show teams what I can do in the rain. So he didn't care. That's just how he is. Just like last week, he flew back to L.A. and helped Ronald Jones in his workout, and people were shocked that he did that. But that's just the way the guy is. He's very unassuming.
Is he like a day one starter? The team that drafts him, will they expect him to play right away as a rookie?
I think he could play right away. I don't know. I think the Browns have said he wouldn't start, and you know, I'm sure that the Giants probably wouldn't start him, but which, you know, probably is best for a guy to not be the starter. But you know, I can tell you, if the Buffalo Bills had the number one pick or two pick, he'd be happy to go there. And I wouldn't say that if Josh Rosen was being talked about as the number one pick. So I think that's one of the differences between those two guys.
You've watched him. Is he the type of quarterback, or was he the type of quarterback in college that lifted the play of the weapons around him? Or is he the type of guy, as you hear some quarterbacks, that benefit from having those weapons around him?
No, he definitely makes everybody better. And one of the ways he does that I saw is plays don't end when they're supposed to with him. And he starts running and the defense can't get him. So, you know, receivers suddenly get open that are totally covered. And, you know, they have a receiver, Deontay Burnett, who's in the draft. And I think he made him a lot better because of the improvisation and the way he's able to kind of read receivers and what they can do and anticipate where they're going to be. So I think he definitely makes everybody better. He makes his offensive line better because they'll give up less sacks.
I wonder what you meant a second ago, Scott, when you mentioned that you know, he would have no problem playing in Buffalo. You can't say that for Josh Rosen. What's the difference there? What do you see there?
Because I think Josh Rosen cares about where he's playing, the weather. I'm not sure Josh Rosen wants to go to the Browns because he might not think they're good enough. And, you know, Sam Darnold doesn't care about all that stuff. He's going to be happy if he gets drafted by the Browns. He doesn't care. If the Bills take him, he'll be happy. If the Giants take him, he'll be happy. So, you know, that stuff doesn't enter into his thinking.
Scott, we had someone on the show, and we were talking about Sam Darnold doing a podcast throughout, I guess, his last football season there at USC. And it was something that he wanted to do to prepare himself for the media, prepare himself for different interviews and different things that he was going to deal with in the NFL. What'd you think about him doing something like that?
I wasn't in favor of that because, you know, it was really USC's idea because they're such a kind of a media savvy athletic department, and they're in LA. So they wanted him to do it, and, you know, it was like a weekly thing, and it took probably an hour to do. And I know his family felt it was kind of a distraction for him to do it during the season because he was going to class and doing football at the same time, and then you're just talking and talking away on the thing. So he never said he minded doing it, but I know that his family wasn't in favor of it. And, you know, I don't think he's going to, like, suggest wherever he goes that he do a podcast next season.
Hey, I got one more question for you, Scott. And you mentioned you've been around there, the SC football program, for a long time. Who's the best pro quarterback to come out of USC? People, and I'll set it up like this because, you know, we've had at least one here in Buffalo, and people say, well, USC quarterbacks, we've had no success with them. Who's had the most success coming out of USC and playing football in the NFL, let's say, you know, in the last 30 years or so? Anybody?
Well, you know, traditionally they were tailback U.
Right.
So they've had some quarterbacks that have done okay. I guess, you know, Carson Palmer probably, in terms of the duration of his career and the stats and everything he did, would probably be considered the best from USC. But they've had other guys, you know, that have done well. I don't know. There's this, I think I've seen this a lot on Twitter, this rap that USC quarterbacks fail in the NFL, and that has nothing to do with Sam Darnold. I mean,
right.
He picked USC, and, you know, he's more, I can tell you, he's more talented than any of those quarterbacks in the past, and he's played better because I saw them all play, and I saw him play, and I take him in a heartbeat.
Better than Carson Palmer.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's more athletic, and I think he can read defenses better than Carson could at this stage in his career.
That's good. That's good to hear. I'm happy for that because I, too, see those comments, and I think, well, let's think through who these USC guys were, number one, and number two, what's that got to do with Sam Darnold? He doesn't own their careers, these other guys, right? I mean, why should you have to answer
that's almost
that?
Like saying, well, Youngstown State doesn't put out that many guys.
I got to tell you, Scott, this guy, Donald, is a Youngstown State product. He's a Penguin.
My bad, Scott. I had to throw that out there.
Hey, Scott, thanks for joining us today.
I'm sure they put out coaches, though, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, don't discredit the players now.
Thanks, Scott. Good talking with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, Scott Wolf, Inside USC blog, former Daily News staff writer, covered the USC Trojans, USC football beat reporter. He joined us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, Subway Eat Fresh. We've had those calls. I don't want any Southern California quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
why? What does that got to do with Sam Darnold?
Yeah, I've gotten those calls, tweets, everything. No quarterbacks from California. They're not used to the weather out here. I mean, there are plenty of quarterbacks in the league from California playing in cold weather places. You know, you just adjust to it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm from New Jersey, and I complain about the weather every day here. So there's that.
But I'm, you know, here's a guy, Scott Wolf, our guest, who's covered USC football for years, decades, and he says Darnold's the best, better than Carson Palmer. Now, Carson Palmer's had a pretty decent NFL career, wouldn't you say?
Carson Palmer, yeah, he's had a decent NFL career. I mean, he's had some really good seasons back in Cincinnati with Ocho Cinco. He's had some decent seasons out there in Arizona. But for him to be the best from a school that you think, man, USC has had so many players in the NFL, so many guys drafted in the first round, and Carson Palmer, who's been a decent quarterback in this league, is the best one to come out of USC. That's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it's really one of the legendary football programs in American college football. Yeah. Hey, we're dealing a lot, today, talking about Richie Incognito, his retirement news today. Want to know what you think about that in general. How do you react to that, and what do the Bills do? Our Twitter poll today deals with Incognito's decision and the entire Bills offensive line. As you know, Eric Wood retired. They dealt away Cordy Glenn. So where are they in the offensive line now? With the Incognito reports today, how concerned are you about the Bills' offensive line? On Twitter, 57% of you say you're very concerned. 37% of you say this is significant, but this is fixable. 6% say you're not concerned at all. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550, the number. Outside Buffalo, toll-free at 1-888-550-2550. Call here from Fred in Buffalo. Fred, go ahead. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, guys. Just two quick questions. Number one, do you think maybe they could pick up two or three men to come in after the draft, undraftable rookies? And number two, Donald, are you going to stay in radio when you go back home?
Man, all right, so your first question, will they pick up two or three offensive linemen? I think they'll end up drafting one at some point in the draft. And then in terms of undrafted, yeah, you can definitely pick up guys there. There are going to be some guys there. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see. I'm sure they'll – first of all, you need guys for rookie minicamp, number one.
And you
two,
got money.
Right.
Can they get can, the question really is, Fred, I don't mean to correct you. The question is, can they pick up guys who will help
right.
as undrafted rookie free agents? That's tough to do. Guys who can step in and play. That's mm-hmm. very tough to do.
Yeah.
Especially definitely. Offensive linemen. If, you know, they're big guys and they're talented guys, and the combination, it seems to me, of big and talent is rare, mm-hmm. and which is why guys get drafted who might just be big sometimes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They might just
offensive
be
offensive linemen I'm talking about.
Let me tell you, I remember coming out of high school and looking at guys. We would play different teams, and it was like, oh, yeah, he's got an offer from Rutgers or Pitt or Florida State or whatever the case may be. And then you watch him on film, and it's like, this dude is terrible. And the offensive lineman or defensive lineman, and you're just looking at it, and you're like, man, this dude got offered because he's like 6'5". Like, what are we talking about right now? They're just getting offered because they're big. And for me as a wide receiver, it was like, that's not right. You know, it's just not fair. Life's not fair, Murph.
A couple sometimes of tweets on the Incognito thing. I don't know what to make of this. 13 tweets in. Has anyone talked about how this Incognito affects the growth of Dawkins? Said, I've been in meetings all day. I think this hurts his growth, but not a big problem.
Did he say he's been in meetings?
Yes.
You think they were talking about that in his work meetings?
Yes. They were supposed to be talking about work, and they're talking about Incognito.
Yeah.
I don't know if it hurts Deion Dawkins in particular. It's not good, to lose Richie Incognito at this point. I think they were counting on him, right? They renegotiated his deal with the expectation that he'd be back. But does it hurt Deion Dawkins more than anybody else? I don't know.
I don't know. Here's the thing. You learn from guys. You definitely learn from guys. But you also learn yourself in this league. You learn from by trial and fire. You really do. You got to go through a lot of different things to learn. And it doesn't matter if Richie Incognito is next to you and Eric Wood is next to him. You're still going to have some times where you just mess some things up. And that's how you learn in this league. You know, I learned from guys that were ahead of me, guys like Lee Evans, guys like even Roscoe Parrish, Stevie Johnson. I learned from those guys, but I had to go through different things for me to learn in this league. And so Deion Dawkins is going to have to go through different things. The one that I don't know if it would affect him to the point of learning and growing as a player, not having Richie. I think it will affect him to the point of he had gotten used to working with Richie. He had gotten used to working off of Richie Incognito, you know, so now he's going to have to work off of somebody totally different. And Deion is good. You know, he's going into his second year. He's very teachable. And so he's going to be able to, whoever steps in, if it's Groy, if it's whoever they put in there, John Miller, he's going to have to now learn how to work off of that guy and work with that guy so that they don't give up sacks on that side of the offensive line. So for me, it's about working with the player next to you and not necessarily just learning from the player next to you.
803-0550, toll free, 1-888-550-2550. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. Richie Incognito's decision to retire. Sounds like he's thought it through based on the quotes attributed to Richie from Vic Carucci of the Buffalo News. Sounds like it's not a spur-of-the-moment thing, but we'll see. It sounds like it's going to stick with it, too. Here's a call from Mike in Amherst. Go ahead, Mike. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, John.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm concerned. Bodine is not Eric Wood, and Groy is not Incognito, and I don't think the new left tackle is up to Courtney Glenn standards yet. So I think we're downgrading quite a bit. I think we may have a kind of a fall off this year.
What I'm interested in your thoughts on Dawkins. Did you say not up to Courtney Glenn standards?
No, I think he's the right side.
Dawkins,
the right side.
I mean, Dawkins could be good, but right now he's probably the best player on the line.
Yeah, are you worried about right tackle or left tackle?
Worried about right tackle also. Everything's in flux right now.
Yeah, a little bit. I will tell you this: Courtney Glenn's inability to stay healthy was a big issue, right, for this team and this coaching staff. They needed him on the field. He couldn't stay healthy on the field. And I think they felt compelled to move on. The fact they got a pretty good return for him in a trade, I don't mind that trade at all. I don't mind that trade at all. And I think Dawkins is going to be okay at the left tackle spot.
Well, Dawkins could be okay, but then you look at the rest of it, and where are we with everybody else?
That is, I mean, Mike, that's a good question. And I'd say, look, Ryan Groy, a couple of years ago, when he stepped in for Eric Wood, was a good player. You did not hear – about Ryan Groy. You didn't. When he stepped in, it was like, yeah, I mean, you're not hearing from Ryan Groy, which was a good thing. And so for me, I'm okay with Ryan Groy playing center or guard. I'm totally fine with that. You want to talk about the rest of the offensive line? Bodine, we don't know what we're getting from Bodine. You know he's been a starter for the Bengals for, what, 4 years in a row, but you don't know what you're going to get from him. You don't know if he's going to be a good player or not. He's had some inconsistent years. But at least you know you have a guy with some experience that can step in right now. The rest of the offensive line, yeah, it's definitely in flux. And the one thing that I'd like to bring up, and we have been talking about this with all of these different trades and things going on in the league, I think that teams, especially just here in Buffalo, Bills fans have to get used to the NFL and the way it's going right now. All right, these teams, and especially this regime, they will make moves on players. And it's going to feel like when the move is made, it's going to feel like, oh, they just got rid of so-and-so. We're going backwards.
Sammy Watkins, Ronald Darby,
right.
Marcel Darius.
Exactly.
The blank. They've done it.
They've done it.
In a year.
And they're making moves. And you're looking at it as this is talent leaving out the door. But they are doing that for a reason. And they feel like, look, we need to get younger. We need to get cheaper. And we do that typically through the draft. And so you're going to see a lot more trades be made over the next couple of years, at least while this regime is here. And hopefully they're here for a long time. And you might not like the move, but you just got to trust that it's for the better of the organization.
It's not just a Bills thing either, right?
No, it's around the league. It is around the league. I mean, the team here that in Buffalo that everybody looks to is the Patriots. They make moves. They will trade away anybody. It doesn't matter. They will trade you away. The reports were that Bill Belichick was okay with letting Tom Brady go. And Rob Kraft said no. But if they were willing to let Tom Brady go, I mean, nobody in any other city would probably do that. You're not going to trade away Tom Brady. But the reports were that he was okay with doing that. He's traded away Jamie Collins, one of their best linebackers that they actually drafted because they didn't want to pay him. They make moves like that throughout the course of the NFL and throughout the course of years, and you just got to get used to this regime probably doing the same thing.
Here's Trey calling from Erie, Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Trey. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
Yes, I'm okay with the decision of Incognito wanting to retire due to his health issues. You know, we don't want to put anybody like that jeopardy. You know, he has a family and all that. But for the bigger picture of the Buffalo Bills, I would like to see them just not draft anything offensively. I want to see them build one of the most dominant defenses of our era, probably with the next 2 years in the draft. And then you can go back to following, you know, chasing after that quarterback. Because when you think about it, some of these teams – who have great defenses, never had a quarterback. And then, you know, they slip, you know, 1 year and get that first round pick, maybe two overall. And they finally get that guy, and that just completes the whole entire process and the puzzle right there. So I would like to see them just focus on defense. Don't trade up. I really don't trust any of the quarterbacks. I mean, if you were in position to draft Deshaun Watson last year, why would you jump up, trade two first round, maybe three first round picks, for a quarterback this year? I mean, that's just too much.
Because these quarterbacks are going to be better, I would think, than Deshaun Watson. Is that unreasonable to expect? Look, we just talked to Scott Wolf about Sam Darnold. I have a feeling Sam Darnold is going to be a better NFL quarterback than Deshaun Watson. Am I crazy? I don't think so, Donald. I have a feeling Josh Rosen might be there and maybe even Josh Allen.
Yeah, Trey.
To jump up, we're talking about giving up a lot, guys, when we already have a lot of holes. I mean, we made it to the playoffs. It was a miracle by making it to the playoffs. I mean, it wasn't set in stone. We didn't have a great season, you understand? So I would love to fill up those holes on defense. You know, we definitely need some linebackers, somebody opposite of Tre'Davious White, defensive ends, you know, because, you know, that's all we have is Jerry Hughes some of the time, you know, not even all of the time.
Oh, they got needs this year. They're going to have needs next year too.
Yeah, they're definitely going to have needs both years.
And they might not have six draft picks and a couple of potentially really good quarterbacks in the draft next year or 2 years hence or whenever you feel like the holes are plugged. The holes are never going to be plugged, right? Stuff happens. Richie Incognito decides in April he's retiring. There's always going to be holes. You got six draft picks. You got a couple of potentially really good quarterbacks here. That's why the Bills are looking at quarterbacks.
I think, look, the Bills are going to look at quarterbacks. They're going to take one. They're going to either trade up to get one, or they'll end up you know, sitting there at 12. They'll end up taking one at 22, one in the second round. You're going to see a quarterback come off the board here. And I know it's going to take a lot, though, to get up there to get one of the premium quarterbacks. But who knows? You know what's crazy?
What?
We're talking about, and I don't really see this happening because we know it's a quarterback-driven league. But we've been talking all this time of what do you have to trade away to get up there to get a quarterback? How crazy would it be? We get to draft night, and one of these guys just slides right to the Bills. And then it's like they didn't have to give up anything to get that guy. That's
how
crazy.
How about if they give up a lot, move way up, and then another really good
quarterback and another one slides.
And you're sitting there, and somebody else is picking a 12, and you're like, That would be the worst.
That'd be crazy. Yeah. And the draft could happen like that.
Yeah.
It really could happen like that.
We're about 2.5 weeks away from the draft. It is 2 weeks from this Thursday, 8 o'clock, and we're going to do a special show that night to cover the draft for you. More on that coming up. A lot more coming up on Richie Incognito. You're welcome to join us to talk about that. Phone lines open at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Reaction coming in from the Buffalo locker room, Donald. There's an Instagram post from the guy, Shady McCoy.
Did he?
Yeah, we'll let you look at that when we return. Plus, NFL true and false when we come back. The John Murphy Show with Donald Jones, live at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
John Murphy and Donald Jones here for another 28 minutes or so, about a half hour left in the show. Richie Incognito says he's retiring because of health issues. What do you think of that? Phone line's open. 803-0550 and toll free 1-888-550-2550. I'm just thinking during the break, Donald. Last week I said I got off on some riff about how the Bills haven't lost that much from last year to this year. Now I'm reconsidering. Now this changes things. It's not a major loss, but a meaningful loss. Richie Incognito announcing his retirement.
Been a big part of that run game.
Yeah.
A big part of the run game. I mean, the guy that gets the run game going, to be honest with you. That power game, we've gotten used to seeing Richie Incognito pulling around and kicking out whomever. Defensive ends, linebackers, DBs, safeties, it doesn't matter. We've gotten used to really seeing that. And so now you're not going to see him. The crazy thing is we don't know what system they're going to run.
Right.
We don't know if they're going to run zone, inside zone, outside zone, power, whatever the case may be in terms of the running game. We had gotten used to Richie doing that dirty work, and he's not going to be there anymore. So you got to find somebody that can do some of that dirty work if you're going to still be doing that type of stuff. And, you know, it's not easy to do to just replace somebody that's been that
good. And I'm not saying the sky is falling, it's the end of the world. It's not. But it's significant when the Pro Bowl guard, surprisingly, this deep into the offseason, decides to retire. I think you got to pay attention. It's something to think about.
For guys like us, it's good to talk about.
Great talk radio fodder. Thank you, Richie. Let's take a few phone calls. Dave in Orchard Park. Is that bad to say?
It's bad.
Dave in Orchard Park, welcome to the show, Dave.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
We're doing great.
Hey, Rob, I'd just like to say Rich Cognito, man, came in here, did a fantastic job. He's definitely going to be missed. But I feel that our coaching staff and our, you know, the whole team throughout with the GM and everything has shown the ability to get the players in here that we can coach up. So I think we'll be all right there. Mason Randolph, I believe we can't give away our future too much with all those picks to go that high up. Where I think of Mason Randolph,
Rudolph
here, McCarron might have a great shot. And also, last question here. I know I'm asking a lot, Donald. What are you going to be doing in the future? I know you're leaving on Friday.
I'm still going to be in the media. I'll still be around a little bit. I'm doing some things with Reuben Brown, a podcast down in New York City with Reuben Brown, titled The Buffalo Soldiers Podcast. So, you know, that'll be fun. But in terms of what the Bills will be doing at the quarterback position, you know, Mason Rudolph is, I think people widely regard him as a project. I think more of a project than even Lamar Jackson, you know, so I'm not sure if you draft him, who knows, maybe he could come in here and be really good and beat out an A.J. McCarron and Nathan Peterman. But, you know, I'd be more in favor if you weren't taking a quarterback in your first pick, I'd be more in favor of taking, you know, someone else in the second round, but not a Mason Rudolph.
Not even in the second round, Mason Rudolph?
Well, second round, yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he slides to the second round, though. I think somebody takes him. In the back half of that first round, even if it's a team like the Patriots, Steelers, one of those teams, I think he comes off the board here in the first round. I think we're going to have six quarterbacks in the first round.
Wow.
You know, the premium four. Lamar Jackson, I think somebody will pull the trigger on. And I think that somebody will pull the trigger on Mason Rudolph.
Here's a call from Tom in Buffalo. Go ahead, Tom. Welcome to the show. You're on the air with us.
Hey, guys. I called last week and when we were talking about priorities, and I said quarterback, linebacker, and then defensive and offensive line, and I included the tight end there. It's working out to be just like that. I said Incognito was going to retire soon. I'm sorry it's happening so soon. Counting on him this year, just like I'm counting on Kyle Williams this year.
Yeah.
But I remember Jason Peters. He was a tight end, and they converted him into a left tackle. And he was pretty darn good at that position, made a career out of it. What do you think about that? We got anybody on the roster?
No, there's no Jason Peters is, I think, you know, verging on Hall of Fame caliber left tackle. He's a really good tackle. There's nobody that I know on the roster that's approaching that level. Jason Peters was a freakish athlete. He was a great – he was a really good tight end prospect and then became a great offensive lineman.
Yeah.
Did you play with him? Was he gone by the time
he was before me.
Great player.
Yeah, he was before me.
Not, you know, not my favorite player, but a great player nonetheless.
When did he leave here? 2009?
I can look it up. Yeah, it was sometime around
then. I think it was 2009. I think it was the year before me.
Yeah. Let me look that up. Here's Jim in Williamsville. Welcome to the show, Jim. You're on the air.
Yes, hi, guys. I think you guys are understating the losses on the lines somewhat. I mean, we've lost three guys, and quite frankly, I don't even think the line's been that great the past couple years. I think McCoy and Taylor have seriously hidden the deficiencies of this line, Taylor in particular, but both of them, really. And, you know, we're losing three linemen. We're replacing with a second-year player, rookies. And, you know, I mean, last year we saw what are – and we're probably going to draft a rookie quarterback. So, but still, I mean, we saw Peterman last year with this line. Granted, it was a half of football, but it was a disaster. And, you know, now we have McCarron. I don't think the guy moves like crazy. So I think Taylor's going to be missed seriously as far as that, as far as hiding the deficiency of the line. And I think we're kind of in trouble, quite frankly, for whoever's quarterback in this team.
Well, look, there have been some good players that are gone now from this offensive line. All right, you can't take that away. And we're not underestimating the losses from the offensive line at all. Eric Wood is a good player. Richie Incognito is a good player. And like you said, yeah, I remember going back to the season when you're like, yo, this offensive line is just getting torched right now. What is going on with the offensive line? And so now they have to upgrade it. Yeah, they do. But I think at the same time, that doesn't mean that you change your way of thinking in terms of the draft. I think they're going to stick to their plan. They're going to stick to their plan. They're not going to veer away from their plan. They're not going to say, okay, we lost Eric Wood and Richie. Now we got to go away from drafting a quarterback and take some offensive linemen. And we all know that offensive line is important. If you could have the best quarterback in the world, Tom Brady, if you don't have an offensive line, it's not going to be good for him. But I don't think that they're going to veer away from their plan, which is first to try to get a quarterback. And if they can't get a quarterback at that point, then they're going to go in other directions. Now, who knows? We could be wrong. And we're saying you don't draft the quarterback. I mean, you don't draft one of these offensive linemen in the first round. Who knows? Maybe this changes their plan B if plan A doesn't work out.
Jim, yeah, I hear you. And as I said to Donald at the top of this segment, last week I was saying they haven't lost much now. You know, you make a point. Yeah, Richie is a loss. Eric Wood, they'll feel it a little bit. They'll feel Richie a little bit. They got work to do. These are fixable items, though, I think, mm-hmm. through the draft and through free agency. And the fact that they have some backups who can probably play, Ryan Groy, for instance, and Bodine, for instance, can probably step in and play. We'll see how it goes. We don't know what kind of offense they're running, too.
We don't know what kind of offense they're running. But these were, to be honest with you, these were going to be changes that were going to be made soon.
Next year.
Yeah, next year. You're going to probably – but even before Eric Wood, you were going to get through this season with Eric Wood, with Richie Incognito. So it's not like you expected this stuff to happen right now. I understand that. And so this does add some holes to your team for this year coming up. But this is – a process that Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott have been talking about since they came here. They wanted to get younger, get cheaper, correct the salary cap situation. That was going to mean that guys like Richie Incognito, guys like Eric Wood, even guys like Kyle Williams, who everybody loves, reveres here, were not going to be here long-term moving forward. And everybody has to understand that. It's just happening a lot sooner than everybody thought it would. But now they just got to get to work. And to be honest with you, even after the draft, once you get into the regular season, there are going to be holes on this team. There will be. There's just no way you can fix every plug, every hole on this team. You can't do it in one season. But hopefully you can plug enough holes to be a good enough team to get you to the playoffs or something like that.
Yeah. We're talking about the Richie Incognito decision to retire. He announced it today. I hear what you're saying. Try not to downplay it. I don't think, it's the end of the world. I don't think the sky is falling, but it does get your attention. And it has the attention of Incognito's former teammates. There's an Instagram post from Shady McCoy, who one might say has the most to gain or lose, depending on who's playing up front. A very interesting Instagram post from Shady, mm-hmm. in which he has a picture of he and Richie from the Pro Bowl last year. And he says, wait, no, Wood, and now you? Listen, McCoy goes on to say, 1,500 yards, I'll give you $30,000 or $300,000 cash.
Yeah.
And then he goes on to say, my favorite white boy ever, can't retire now. Love you, dog. Kind of a tongue-in-cheek response from Shady McCoy. 1,500 yards and I'll give you $300,000 cash. That'd get your attention if you're Richie Incognito.
Yeah, right.
You start to look again at your liver and kidneys and say, how bad is that? Can I get one? No, I don't even think you can do that. One player give another $300,000. But clearly this is not what Shady McCoy was looking for, Donald.
Nah, Shady is out there at broadcast boot camp right now. Like, what is going on? Let me get out there to where's Richie? San Diego? Let me get out there to San Diego.
He's in Arizona, isn't he?
Oh, Arizona, yeah. Let me get out there and talk to him a little bit, man. We're losing too many guys up front. I need you guys up front, man, especially Richie, because Richie was the guy that did the dirty work for LeSean McCoy. He's the one that pulled around and kicked guys out that LeSean McCoy had really gotten used to reading off of. All right, Richie's going that way, I'm going this way. And now he didn't have Richie. Now he's not going to have Richie, and so things would be different, but – that's the NFL. LeSean McCoy understands that.
Hey, time now for NFL True and False, brought to you by Yancey's Fancy New York's Artisan Cheese. This one's pretty incredible. Tim Tebow, you know that he stepped up to the plate last week. I think it was Friday night, the AA Binghamton Rumble Ponies. 3-run home run in his first at bat, and yet some people think Tim Tebow should return to football. True or false? I'll say false. Stay with baseball. See where it takes you, Tim Tebow. You were in camp or at least practice with Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
I have a feeling how you're going to answer this question.
Yeah, I'm going to go false. First of all, it's been a few years since Tim Tebow has played football through a course of a season. Now you've been focused on the media and focused on baseball, so you go ahead and stick to that. You can't just walk back into football and think that you can play with all of these young guys. And it wasn't like he was a really decent quarterback in this league. He wasn't even decent to me.
I want to hear you tell the story of the passes coming out of his hands.
Oh, man. I just remember he threw me – I was running like a 20-yard end cut, and he threw me the ball. And I remember when the ball came out of his hands, it had this slow-motion baseball pitcher windup, and it just took forever. And it was like I could talk to myself and everything while the ball was in the air. And I remember thinking to myself, like, there has to be a safety coming. It took so long to get to me. And he just had the weakest arm ever, man. So, no, you stick with baseball, and she should be playing first base.
NFL True and False, Part 2. Khalil Mack did not show up at the first voluntary Raiders offseason workout yesterday. We haven't seen an update on his status today. But true or false, Raider fans should be concerned about a Khalil Mack holdout. You want to go first on this?
I think that, no. I think Khalil Mack is a good guy. You know, he wants to get his money. But I think ultimately, once you get closer and closer to the season, he'll end up coming back. You know, he's made enough money where he can probably hold out throughout the course of training camp. And guys don't want to go to training camp anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's going to work out somewhere. He won't be in football shape. And we see that all the time. Guys will hold out. They're not in football shape when they come back for week one. But I think once you get to week one, he'll be on the field and Raiders fans will be happy.
You say false, I say false. Yeah. It's really the only weapon he has now. He wants to get the contract talks sped up a little bit, wants to convey some sense of urgency, which the Raiders apparently have not had. So, sure, he, you know, missing a voluntary workout, I'm sure he'll get there eventually. I wouldn't worry about it, Raiders fan. This is one of the great players in the game, one of the best players in the game. Mm-hmm. He'll be there. He'll play this year. I'm sure he'd like to have a renegotiated deal. You know, the fifth year, it's tough for those first-round picks, right, because you're not making the money you deserve.
Right.
And so he, no wonder he's eager to get a new contract going.
I mean, he's been one of the best players in the game since he came in.
Since
he stepped on the NFL field. And when you are a first-rounder and they have those fifth-year options and they pick up those options, you're not being paid what you feel like you should be paid. And that's why you hear it from him. You hear it from Aaron Donald, Odell Beckham, all of these guys that were first-rounders that had that fifth-year option. And now they've outplayed that. Ultimately, you're still under contract, though.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. Khalil will be there.
Right.
NFL True or False brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's Artisan Cheese. We're back in a moment. John Murphy, Donald Jones, John Murphy Show coming to you live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from today's show?
Presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. Evan Silva joined us from Roto World on today's show. We talked a lot about the draft, and Evan Silva's done a pretty comprehensive look into what the Bills need in the draft. Here's what he had to say.
I think that obviously quarterback is their biggest need, and I think that they certainly need to add some talent at linebacker. I think they need another pass rusher, though. And, you know, so if they can, I don't know, there's so much mystery to the draft, and this is what makes it fun, but, you know, get a good pass rusher at 12 and then get that quarterback in Mason Rudolph at number 22, that would be at least an interesting strategy. I don't think that Lamar Jackson is going to be on their radar just because of how they talk about the kind of quarterback that they're targeting. They want a pure drop-back passer. Mason Rudolph more fits into that, of course, than Lamar Jackson, who's an explosive dual-threat run-pass playmaker.
Bills draft needs quarterback, yeah, wide receiver, check. Pass rush, yeah, now offensive line. It just doesn't stop. They need a lot, and we'll see if they can fill some of those needs. We talked with Scott Wolf, who writes a blog about USC football. We talked with him about Sam Darnold. Bills going out west Friday to have their own private workout with Sam Darnold. Here's what Scott Wolf said about the USC quarterback.
I would take him if I had the number one pick simply because he's very durable. He's got great poise, very good at avoiding the pass rush, smart. He doesn't care about individual stuff, and he just likes to be a team player and win football games. So I think he'll fit in any city, any team. And he doesn't care where he goes, I don't think, either. And he'll be happy in any city.
That's what we learned about Sam Darnold. One quick phone call here. We'll take a call from Eric and Blaisdell. Go ahead, Eric. You're on the air.
Hey, Murph. How are you today?
We're doing okay.
I'm good, man.
Question to ask you. You know, I was at work today, and everybody heard the news about, you know, Incognito, you know, what happened with him leaving. Everybody's like, there goes our season. But we got to remember, man, we got good backups, you know, to fill those roles. And we got good team leaders in there. Now, you look at those two quarterbacks, you know, you just had on there right now. Those are my two top choices. You know, if we get somebody to fill a role in that offensive line, like Donald said, you know, you got to have a line or you ain't got a quarterback, no matter who you are. But, you know, my question is this. Do we have somebody to fill the role for Incognito? Because over the season, the last season, you always seen McCoy going behind Incognito. We have someone to fill those shoes. And, you know, that's my question of the day.
Okay,
know?
Eric, thanks. If the season started tomorrow.
We don't know.
It doesn't start tomorrow. But Ryan Groy, I think, would line up.
He would be that guy. I would think so.
The season doesn't start tomorrow. There's a draft. There's more free agency and more moves to be made. And the people you sit at lunch are talking like, oh, there goes our season. No, I don't think so. It's not good that Incognito has decided to retire. It's not good at all. And, yeah, it forces me to go back and think, okay, what have they lost from 2017? Well, now we know the offensive line is going to be considerably different and probably not better than it was in 2017.
Right, exactly. I mean, if we came in tomorrow and said, what's the weakest position on the team, you could put offensive lineup in there now.
You could put quarterback in there, too. You could
definitely put quarterback in there. So
you could put wide receiver in there, too.
Right. You know, maybe that's our Twitter poll for tomorrow. I don't know. I'm coming up with ideas.
Write it down in there. Yeah, I like that.
So, you know, it's something that they still have to work on. They got a lot of draft capital, and they really can do what they want in this draft.
Tomorrow's show is going to be a good one. Steve Tasker will join us tomorrow. We'll talk with him, and we're going to talk to DeMario Davis, linebacker, who's coming to town this weekend. Thanks to our presenting sponsor, Napa. Find your local Napa store online at NapaOnline.com. Production assistants, J.J. Torito, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rood, our producer, Jay Harris. More to talk about tomorrow for sure on the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.